o'clock has struck midnight on TNA. Welcome to this week's WrestleCast, everybody. I am your host with the Mohawk, Devil Vamp, and with me I have the greatest group of wrestling fans known to man. Heavy Set starts us off this week. What up, Heavy?
Yeah, because I am the WrestleCast.
You are. You will be next week. Mop Jockey's next. What up, Mop?
Yep. What to do?
Katie, the First Lady, is back from being sicky. How you doing, Katie?
Much better now. You're in a chipper mood.
I drive. I'm on vacation. I only had to work 5 days. Ugh, it's great.
You got fucking fucked by great. Somebody named Midas?
Don't fucking motherfucking.
He gave, it wasn't a Mike Myers movie, but he gave him a gold member, if you know what I mean.
I fucking.
No, he has the Midas touch.
I got something Midas on me.
He got a rim job on that one.
Double A is here.
Happy 4th of July week, and to all the Canadians, happy Canada Day week. Proving even if you are patient and wait long enough, you can be given the freedom, like Canadians and Mounties, to have sex with mooses or meese, whatever the plural for moose is.
The plural of moose is
it's moose. Let's move on from the slurring person to the other guy. Biohazard's here.
The other guy.
Yeah, I ran out of adjectives. How are you doing, Bio?
You run out of adjectives as good as your math.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. And the most trusted name in wrestling news, DRG, is here.
Motherfucker. I'll tell you right now, I think I figured out why me and Andy have so many problems, because he is the Bo Dallas of WrestleCast.
Oh, dude, he's totally the Bo Dallas of WrestleCast.
Totally the Bo Dallas of WrestleCast.
Totally. All right, guys, we start out every single podcast this week, in case you're new, with the Keep, Toss, or Improve of the week. Heavy Set, Keep, Toss, or Improve, man.
I didn't watch Raw at all. I have nothing.
All right. Mob Jockey, Keep, Toss, or Improve.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what? Let's keep the Adrian Neville faux comic. Why is that not a real fucking thing?
I don't know. That he would be a good comic. He's a good comic.
Cool. They will pimp out fucking garden gnomes.
I know.
But they don't have a comic book?
That's a good point. Why don't... Yeah.
They had a comic book at one time.
It failed.
It was, dude, that Neville cover looks so badass.
It did look cool. Mm-hmm. Was it...
The Altitude Era.
Yeah. The Altitude Gnome.
That's actually
For a comic book, they could have CM Punk write it.
wouldn't the Altitude Era be back in the 80s when everybody was high and stoned?
Andy, yeah, Andy.
Yo. you gotta have it louder than that.
Mop on sound
That's
effects.
That's as loud as it gets.
Mop on sound effects. Mop on quiet sound effects this week. What else, Mop?
Let's see. I didn't get that far into thinking.
You guys know the opening segment of every week, so
I know.
It doesn't
and
change.
I actually had a bunch of things in mind, and then I started playing with sound clips and forgot everything.
That's how boring Raw was.
Ooh. Let's improve.
Okay.
Kevin Dunn's cameraman's ability to cover Lana when she's squatting on top of somebody and her skirt comes up.
What?
We definitely need to improve that.
Katie,
what was that?
What was that skirt?
We need up skirt shots, man.
What was that skirt?
It was just a skirt.
But it wasn't.
She was wearing shorts underneath.
Yeah.
No,
but
she was wearing
her shorts.
Full blown granny panties.
Her shorts were connected to the skirt.
Noelle Foley tweeted that she was wearing granny panties.
Well, you know.
It looked like shorts to me, like short shorts.
Like bloomers.
Bloomers. It's still hot, honestly.
And if this was 10 years ago, it would have been a thong.
It would have been, total. It would have been a G string. Are you kidding me?
There wouldn't have been anything there. Yeah. Have you seen the Mae Young segments? Shit.
I know. Holy fuck.
Yeah, she went GI Bro.
The Kitty segments, every time I swear there was like a 6 month period where Kitty just kept taking off her top every six months. She just kept showing her boobs.
Jerry Lawler loves
seeing them. I know. I didn't say anything was wrong with it. I'm complaining the fact that they blurred it out on fucking the network. It's irritating. It's annoying.
For only $9.99, you can get blurred out softcore porn.
Dude, I got that for free when I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. Kay, the First Lady, Keep Dawson Proof.
Well, I'm going to stick with talking about the ladies for a minute and say that my keep was the Divas on Raw. I enjoyed the match with Paige and Alicia Fox. It was entertaining. The crowd was into it. And I liked the addition of Summer Rae with Rusev, Lana, and Ziggler. I mean, I hope this means Lana will start to wrestle more often. It seems that way because it was the first time we saw her get physical in any way. So I liked the way the Divas were on Monday.
Yeah, I would say Divas match, second match of the night. Behind the Cesaro, John Cena.
Full segments?
Yeah, it was good. The Divas match was really good. I would say that. Yep. I would say second match of the night behind John Cena and Cesaro.
Now, on the other one, I was going to steal Heavy's toss, and that is using Ziggler to introduce Lana as a fucking wrestler. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I can understand that, but I also understand. See, the thing about that is I don't understand where Lana's motivation is. Like, other than calling her, she didn't even really call her that bad of a name. It was like something generic because we're
fraud.
She
just called her a fraud.
Yeah, it was like a PG air bullshit.
I thought we were waiting for something like much more bigger than that.
Yeah, she
like
could have. She should have called her a bitch or something, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all right if chicks do it to each other, right? I mean, it's fine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so,
I just want to see what Lana's got in ring work wise.
She has to learn something.
She's not a trained wrestler. She's an actress.
No,
girl.
I'm seeing Eva model. Marie.
Can we get Braun panty matches?
No, that's never gonna happen.
No, that's safe for TNA.
That shit is
that's safe for TNA and Awesome Kong.
That shit is gone, son. Sorry.
No, that was Taryn Terrell. Kong was never in a lingerie segment, but Taryn
Terrell. She was in a lingerie match.
No, yeah, she but wasn't. She
had it. She did have the one match where her boob fell out.
I don't know, Katie. I think bringing Lana into the fold. I like the whole Summer Rae. By the way, Summer Rae looking really good. If you just ignore her face, she's got a cracking body. Holy fuck, her body's smoking hot.
So it's a butter face.
I like Charlotte's face. Thank you.
So it's a butter face.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's a butter face. Everything looks good. Butter face. Absolutely.
Her beak's a
little big. Summer Rae is a lot hotter than Charlotte.
Her beak
10 times better than Charlotte.
Hang on, guys. Yep, I had to drop that. her beak is rough, man. I mean, some of those shots on Total Divas, holy fuck. I mean, her beak is just, she needs to get that shit shaved down, seriously.
Did you think you were watching the Wizard of Oz with the Wicked Witch of the West?
Yeah. I mean, that Total Divas, I'm really liking Total Divas, and I'm like 4 years behind or some shit. But,
new season starts next week.
Yeah, I won't be watching it.
just reminding.
I'm not caught up.
Doesn't it air on a Tuesday, though?
Yeah, they're on Tuesdays now.
Yeah, everything's on Tuesday now.
I think after Tough Enough.
On Total, yeah, on E, it has to be after Tough Enough because it has to be past.
Oh, yeah, it's on E, I forget.
Yeah, that's on two different channels.
Yeah, it has to be past the Watershed because there's so much profanity on that show.
What is the Watershed, 9 or 8?
It's depending on the cable channel. It depends.
It's 8 Central, 9 Eastern.
So it's 9. So yeah, so it's after Tough Enough. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Katie, what else you got?
My improve is the beginning and the ending of Raw seemed way too long, specifically the ending more or less. I mean, I think they went too much on beating down Roman Reigns. I was like, is this done? Then I kept going. And is it done? It kept going. It went too long for me. I was like, okay, you beat him up over already.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know. Yeah. It felt off. It felt like they were missing something.
Like they were waiting for something to happen. I think Bray Wyatt came down.
Bray Wyatt twice. Did come down.
He came down after, though. I was actually expecting like a Lesnar showing up.
I think,
like, this just keeps going. And
I
think,
match no, and then I don't.
I don't think he's going to be there until July 13th.
No, he probably really is on a plane going to Japan, like they said.
Yeah. Who? Brock?
Lesnar, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot the July 4th
thing. Yeah, Brock is,
match with Kofi.
5:30 a.m.
It's
like a re-air at like 10, 2, and 5 or something.
The only way I'm going to watch
if it's
that
on the network, it re-airs whenever the hell you click it.
The only way I'm going to watch that at the live air is if I'm up, just happen to be up watching the sunrise on the beach. It's the only way that's going to happen.
It's like 4:30 here.
It's not going to happen. I would give it more of a chance to watch it at 4:30 than I would at 5 o'clock. It's just, at least I would stay up. Double A.
I wonder how long it's going to be. Is it going to be 2 hours, 3 hours? What they're going to do?
I'm assuming it's going to be two hours, right? Yeah. You're talking about Brock Lesnar.
I think there's like
Kofi.
Seven. I think it's like seven or eight matches, right?
Yeah, so it's 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's 2 hours.
Because I don't see Brock. It depends on who Brock's taking on, but I don't see that match being longer than like 5 minutes. It's just
Kofi Kingston. Yep.
Brock's fighting Kofi.
Yeah, but I hope Kofi runs away and they throw Xavier in there. It'd be hilarious.
If it's seven or eight matches, it very possibly could be 8 hours or 3 hours.
Yeah, I think it's going to push towards 3 hours. Mm-hmm.
I do too. I think they're going to run it as a special. Like
this is a total. This is
King of the Ring.
This is a total test.
Well, okay. How long are most house shows?
About
three hours.
There you go.
Yeah, but are they going to have the intermission in the middle of it, like at most house shows?
They might.
New Japan event.
No, they'll throw out the Divas for that.
They might have a. They might have an intermission. They might have Divas in house shows are a lot better in Raw.
Remember,
I'm just giving it shit.
We're gonna have a lot of time because they got to do the Finn Balor, Kevin Owens match. You know they're gonna build. They're gonna build the story.
It's not gonna be a house show. It's gonna be a televised event. It's not gonna be a house show.
It is a house show.
It's gonna run like a house show, though.
It's gonna run like a house show.
I don't think there's going to be an intermission per se.
I don't think it's going to be an intermission either.
And can I give Vince McMahon a big fuck you for not letting Kevin Owens and Finn Balor fucking main event that show? Because that's who should be main eventing that show. Not Lesnar versus fucking Kofi.
It's the co-main event.
You know Vince didn't trust Owens and Balor to main event it.
Why would you? You spent money to get Brock Lesnar to Japan to sell out that big-ass fucking auditorium.
They're sending him over there for that reason.
So?
Fucking Owens and Balor main event the damn pay-per-view.
No, honestly, that's just bad. No, they're two brand new guys in your thing. Why would you trust them?
Well, they're not brand new to the Japanese fans.
I understand that. That's why they sent them over there.
Yeah, Balor has headlined New Japan.
I know about Balor.
What's it matter? Hey,
my question is, I wonder what the ticket sales were before, because like, was Brock Lesnar added at the same time as Finn Balor Owens?
No.
Or was Balor Owens
announced first? No, they were always announced. They weren't announced.
When the show was announced, Lesnar was already on the
card. Lesnar was already on the card.
Yeah. And see, I think they could have sold out that was a Cork and Hall that they're at. I think they could have sold that out with Balor versus Owens alone.
That's about a 5,000 seat arena, right?
It's probably more than that.
This card looks really fucking good.
I know.
Well, look at it this way. TNA sold that arena out for Bound for Glory last year. WWE could have had it easily.
Yeah, it did. They could have done it. They could have done it without Brock and fucking
How many of us are excited for Jericho versus Neville?
Oh.
I think that'd be really good.
That's going to be a good match.
Have you seen all the Suplex City shirts now? They got different states. They got New York. They got Tokyo.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, every time he goes
somewhere. I think we figured it out. It's all the stops that Lesnar's going to be at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Atlanta is going to be one of them.
Dallas.
All right, AA. What's the last one?
Are we doing 10 minutes of TNA talk or no?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll leave that.
Do you want to do that now or wait?
No, we're going to do it. We're going to do it in a minute.
I want to keep surprises like The Rock showing up at live events.
Okay.
That was fun.
Okay. Why do you want to keep that, AA? Not that I have to ask, but...
You never know what's... Well, I mean, that's awesome, man. You never know what the hell is going to happen. If someone like The Rock is going to show up at a live event, that's sweet. That's more reason to go.
Go ahead, dude.
I agree to a point. When you're in a big city like Boston or a big city like New York or even say Houston, yes, anything could happen. When you're living in Podunk, Iowa or the middle of nowhere, Texas, like I live, stuff like that isn't going to happen. So for that major market where they're already selling out arenas, I don't necessarily see how it improves the ticket sales. It's a cool experience, but...
That arena...
It's not about ticket sales. It's about the experience there.
That Boston arena was fucking huge. That was a huge arena they sold out.
It was sold out, too. It was pretty
sweet. With The Rock being there.
I don't think The Rock was advertised, though.
I know The Rock wasn't advertised.
It was a surprise.
It was just a surprise. But I don't know. I want to say it might have had something to do with the fact that the arena was sold out that The Rock showed up.
He was in town.
Yeah, I'm sure he was shooting.
I think it comes down to Rock says, hey, I'm in this town. Mm-hmm. What are you guys doing?
Exactly.
And, you're here for doing... a live show, then yeah, great, I'll enjoy that. You're doing a Raw, I'll show up for that. That's what it's about.
Yeah, and the only thing I've always said, too, is that I still think those live shows are sometimes better than those TV shows.
WWE touted the fact that The Rock showed up as you never know what's going to happen at a live event.
Of course.
Well, they did that when they had Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston lose their titles. You go, oh, anything can happen. You know, you can lose the titles and blah, blah, blah.
Like Undertaker returning.
That's been the point of live events for a while. If you've noticed, mm-hmm. they've upped what the production is at a live event. Granted, mm-hmm. they don't have a lot of lights going on, but it used to just be like an entrance door. Now there's kind of like a Titantron. You got the yeah. effects going on. They're putting in more effort into the house shows for a reason.
Yeah, they got smoke. They got the LED. They got the three-tier LED board. They have a big it's like a mini Titantron. It's like a Minitron above the board.
It's mini Ross set. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's not even that. I wouldn't even say it's that because it's flat. So it's not even you. It don't even have the grading, city though.
Because like I said, if it's a smaller city, you don't get that. Because when we had the one here in Abilene, we didn't get any. Like we had an entranceway with a little black curtain and whatnot, but we didn't have Titantrons. We didn't have effects. We had lighting, which was cool.
How was
this 1980 something?
Yeah. What year was it?
No, this was 2010.
Yeah, when I went in 2010, it was literally like a rectangle bar, mm-hmm. like the triangle bars, and lights on that, and a curtain. And there was a sticker on the wall that said SmackDown.
Yeah. I think you guys got like the fucking F show.
F squad.
I saw Ziggler. I saw Jericho. I saw Punk. I mean, I got to see all of them. And Jericho talked about it on podcast when Punk was upset about the NHL finals and the guys were watching it in the back, him and Edge, instead of working on getting ready for the show, that Punk wouldn't tag him into a match. That was the actual event that we were at.
Okay. Dick. Biohazard, keep to us or improve.
Hey. Are we what? Only doing one now?
No, you did two.
I didn't.
Your first?
I think it was Katie did two. I think Andy only did one.
Andy, what was your first one?
Rock at the live events.
And what was your second one?
I didn't do one.
I swear you did a second one. Go ahead, Andy.
I'm going to go back and listen to that shit. Now, I had it and then you did this to me.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Like a four-year-old.
Really?
What? No, what? Jesus Christ, I had it, and then
he ain't coming as hell.
It's a nickel.
Mop Sean had to do the speaker again and tell him to press mute.
I should.
Double A. Anytime now, buddy.
All right, fine. Fuck it. Toss Karen Jarrett. Why the fuck does she need to be there at the goddamn online or whatever?
All right, we'll get into that in a minute. Biohazard, keep toss or improve.
I'm going to toss Big Show versus Mark Henry. I'm so fucking tired of seeing this match.
Motherfucking here.
Oh, my God. Why again? Why?
It's just they beat the crap out of each other. They're slow. They're getting old. It's like, come on. We don't need to see this match again.
I see it in real life. I don't need to see it on TV.
Yeah, every time you get it. Again, we have to see that shit again. Ugh, miserable.
Yeah.
All right. What's your toss or improve? I mean, what's your keeper?
Keep or improve? I'm gonna improve. There was a TNA match. They had a bunch of surprises, which I know we'll get into later. Mm-hmm. But one I want to improve is Bram's been calling out past TNA guys, and he had to face Big Van Vader this week on Impact. Like. Improve it by bringing back somebody that's not Vader. I love Vader, but he's just back to the getting old thing. He's old.
There's no ex-TNA guys left. They all quit.
Bio, I'll tell you a better way of improving that. At the end of that surprise of some guy who owns a different company that comes into TNA, have Bram go out there and annihilate him at the end of that, and then have the other guy in Matt Morgan come in. That is a better way than having a actual match with Big Van Vader.
All right, we'll talk about that in a minute. Question.
Why couldn't Vader wear his mask and stuff? Is that like a WWE gimmick?
He did wear his mask, and then Bram knocked it off of him or something like that.
I didn't see that part.
Though. All right, so my improve this week was actually the wrestling on Raw. SmackDown was really good. I enjoyed SmackDown quite a bit. The Raw was just, it seemed slow for some reason.
Yeah,
the first three matches.
I think you're being a little hypercritical when you have Sheamus and Neville, you have Cena, Cesaro, mm-hmm. and you had the four-way with, three of the four. Mm-hmm. Reigns, Ambrose, Rollins,
well, you
and
didn't,
that other fucking
you,
guy.
You didn't let me finish. Can I finish?
No.
No.
Thanks. So the beginning was really I could. It seemed like to me they definitely changed up their way they've been producing lately, because they had normally they've been having Sheamus. I mean, they've been having Ryback towards the end of the show to break up the main event from everything else, that storyline. But they had it at the beginning. Then they had Big Show and Mark Henry at the beginning to kick off the show. Really, the first match of the night. Then it was Ryback versus The Miz. That wasn't that good. The Divas match pumped it up after that. It was good. Mm-hmm. And then it just, I don't know, because of that, it just felt like it went off on a sour, it started off on a sour note.
Can I touch on one thing?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Do you guys feel like the Intercontinental title has kind of lost a lot of momentum since Daniel Bryan's injury?
Yep.
Yeah, but that's also due to what Cena has been doing with the U.S. title, because there's so much focus on that.
Yes, but that's what Daniel Bryan was going to be doing too, so why can't Ryback be doing that? I don't know.
I don't like Ryback as champion.
They haven't let him do his thing yet. They're only having him in one. I'm not blaming it on Ryback at all. I'm blaming it on the fact of what they're doing. They're doing too much with the U.S. championship and not enough with the Intercontinental championship. They just had a huge elimination chamber for it. That was fantastic. That was great, but I just don't think they're giving him enough time with that championship.
I don't think Miz is in the spot to help that either.
Not right now.
Neither Miz, Big Show, or Mark Henry definitely are in that Big spot. Show.
Yeah. Go ahead, Heavy Set. You want to say something?
I was just gonna say. I mean, how do we know the prestige that or what Daniel Bryan was gonna do with that title? We had hopes in our minds that, okay, he's going to become champion, this is going to happen. But I don't know if I ever want to be like, well, this, like, he was going to be that.
My whole thing was, when he got injured, it kind of lost momentum because it wasn't on TV a lot because he was out of action. And then you put it on Ryback. For me personally, a guy I'm not really that interested in. You know what I mean?
It seemed like he was good. It seemed like him and John Cena were on the same exact page. They were going to do the same exact thing. They were both going to come out every single week on SmackDown and on Raw. Or maybe Bryan was just going to do SmackDown. He was going to put his title up every single week on SmackDown. That's the trend it was going. Both of those guys were supposed to up those titles. And it was working while he had it for a little bit until he got injured again on SmackDown.
Mine was an out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. He got injured. It was off TV. Forgot about the title. And then when it's like, oh,
I mean, there's so many other interesting guys that they could be using other than, and I understand, don't get me wrong, my other keep was definitely Big Show and Renee Young on the Jericho podcast the last 2 weeks I listened. Fantastic interviews. Both of them were great interviews.
My other keep was Great Khali on Jericho's podcast.
Oh my God, I couldn't make it through it.
I couldn't do it either.
He's a funny guy. I listened to the whole thing.
He sure is. I really, really enjoyed Big Show. I came away with that interview with a lot more respect for him than I did have. He told it like it was. He even gave some news about the Breaking the Ring stuff that was pretty cool that he never talked about ever before. I enjoyed that entire interview. Was just a good interview. Again, you have to skip the first 22 minutes of his podcast to get to anything, but nonetheless, I still like his interviewing. His interviewing I enjoy. Not nearly as much as I like Stone Cold just talking wrestling, not necessarily interviews. But
going back to the Intercontinental thing.
It's not for him. He could be doing a lot other things. He could be helping someone else out. He could be a manager, something else, doing something to help somebody else. But I understand why they're doing with Ryback, because he's so big. And there's not a lot of people that are that big anymore in the industry to go against Ryback. But people made it work before with Big Show. Why can't they make it work now? I don't know.
I said that Big Show and Ryback reminded me of Ultimate Warrior and Andre back in the day.
Because I think the fans have changed over to seeing the Nevilles, the Rollins, the Ambroses, and they know how slow and boring Big Show really is now.
Yeah, I can't say for fans. I mean, it may just be us. It may not be everybody. We can't talk for everybody, but it's just not working, and it just needs to be added or taken away from it. The whole Intercontinental Championship era.
I don't have a problem with it, actually.
Okay, there you go. Double A. See, Double A doesn't have a problem with it. He likes it, or just doesn't have a problem with it.
I would like a lot less of it.
Yeah.
Going back to the whole comparison of the U.S. title versus the IC title, if we remember this time, whenever Ambrose had the U.S. title, it was in a similar stalemate position to where it was just kind of floating there while the IC title had a lot of focus on it. I just think that it comes around that this is how this creative team does, is that they choose one title to focus on, as a mid-card, and then the other one kind of gets left to the wayside.
It's not really in a stalemate position, the IC title. It's in a legitimate feud on with somebody that's on TV twice a week. It's always on TV. It's always being defended. It's just the people, I don't know if it's just, I know most IWC people won't connect with Ryback or Big Show. So is it that? I mean, is it they don't like the people participating in the IC, so they're shitting on the IC?
Yeah, and here's the other thing, too. That tag match that they had, that four-man tag match they had with the
Lucha Dragons,
Bo Dallas, and whatever.
And Bo Dallas.
That was a shit match.
Yeah, that wasn't
overly entertaining. It was so boring. They didn't flow very well together at all. People were messing up. They had
it before on SmackDown. It was a lot better on SmackDown than it was on Raw.
I don't know what happened that night. They were just off their game that night.
It was off night.
Yeah, that was off. And I'm not blaming anybody in particular. Everybody was off. They just were not communicating to each other. And it just didn't work. The whole I was like, wow, that was one of the. I love Pride Time Players and I love Lucha Dragons, and that shit just did not fucking work.
It was slow and boring.
It was very slow.
I mean, we've seen the Lucha Dragons have matches like that where their timing is just flat off.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I don't know what it is. I don't know what, anyway. Go ahead.
I agree with Bile too. Bo Dallas needs to change his shorts. It looks like he's wearing tighty whities out there.
He always looks like he shit himself. Always. Constantly looks like he shit himself.
He should go to a blue tight and join the New Day.
He looks like Maria Menudo.
All right, DRG, we're going to go to your Keep Toss or Improve, and we're going to move right into the TNA talk afterwards, okay?
I thought we were going to do TNA talk.
Oh, good. I can go smoke.
No, we're gonna do it right now. So we're gonna do it right after your Keep Toss and Improve.
Okay, well, my Keep Toss and Improve has nothing to do with TNA. First of all, I want to improve NXT by not having so many meaningless matches with say Kaz and Enzo versus two guys that nobody really gives a shit about. And it just seems like since Unstoppable, there hasn't really been anything of merit outside of Samoa Joe showing up versus Kevin Steen in the build to Finn Balor, which I love those two aspects.
I wrote this down too when I was watching NXT today. Why the fuck is Enzo and Cass still in? I don't know why they're still in NXT. I really don't. They have their own fucking brand. They have their own chance. They have everything. They built everything. They don't need to be there anymore. There's a lot of other tag teams that they could be moving up and moving into that spot, fighting two no-name, lazy assholes that have no personality whatsoever. And the only thing they've done to improve that fucking tag, those Blake and Murphy tag team assholes, has been to add Alexa Bliss onto their thing. That's the only thing they've done to improve that fucking tag team. They are so boring, generic tag team I have ever seen. Boring. Yes, they're so fucking boring.
I think that the reason why they put Kaz with that team this week was more of the build towards like a Jason Jordan, I believe is his name. The fact that he has yet another tag team person that he can't trust. So he's going to be moving into the singles division.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I like the guy's look, but you have the freaking Vaudevillains. Why are you going to use Kaz in Enzo for this when they should be building back towards their rematch with Banff? There's other things that they could have been doing that makes it more impactful, and they just haven't really had anything on NXT as of late outside of the Finn Balor segments that have really caught my attention. It's just that's sad because like this time about 3 weeks ago, there was nothing that NXT could do wrong.
No, it feels like to me they're just trying to build talent again. That's what it feels like to me. Like they're focusing on a couple so that they're prepping the others. That's what it feels like to me. And I know
they prepping.
No, prepping behind prepping the scenes. Right now, behind the scenes.
Oh, okay.
I think they're giving them time. Go ahead, Heavy.
I think with you just answering your own question, that's why they're with Kenzo and Astro, with Blake and Mercury. They're trying to elevate them to make them seem legit. They know WWE and NXT, they know what they have with Enzo and Cass, and they'll eventually be brought up. Mm-hmm. Give it time. Give it the right time.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that, Heavy. I really, really do. I really get it. But I'm watching it, and I'm like, I just feel... First of all, I feel passionate, so that comes into place about it. So, like, feeling anything for a wrestler or anything for a product that you like, it comes to the forefront of everything. So, but when I put that aside, I see the dollar signs, and I see the money that these guys, the group and the club that these guys have built, and it even the way Enzo works in the ring, it totally would work on Raw. I could tell it was SmackDown. Main event, it would work anywhere he puts it, and I don't know. I don't want him rushed. I don't want him rushed. Don't misunderstand me. I do not want them rushed. I want them to be around for a long time. So,
but
I don't
think they're ready now.
I do think they're ready, but you know they might not have a spot for him. That's fine. I get that. I understand that they're holding them back. Hell, we have two tag teams that we haven't seen in almost 3 weeks on Raw or SmackDown that need to be seen. I mean, they're great. I love Eric and Rowan. They're both of them are great, and we haven't been using them.
Rowan's
so.
Injured.
Oh, yeah. Rowan's injured. Okay, all right.
Yeah, we've mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same with like Jimmy and Jay. The problem is like with Tyson being gone, that internet darling team that they could have there.
He's not there.
Kaz and Daniel or Daniel's Kaz and Enzo could fill that role right, as the shut up as that. Fan favorite of the people on the internet that they all get behind and support, as well as become more mainstream recognizable. And I feel that they would do well, but like Heavy's saying, they've got to build people up on their way out. And the fact that they have not won the NXT Tag Team Championships yet makes me feel like there's still unfinished business as to why they're there.
I think that probably right there hit the nail on the head. I think that frustrates me more than anything else right there. That probably...
That they haven't won it yet
really irritates me more than anything else, because if you're not going to move them up anytime, then give them the fucking titles, because the people that you have the titles on are fucking
building,
a waste.
They're building towards it. We wanted to see it at the last big
takeover, yeah.
But if we really think about it, that would have got overshadowed by the match that we had with Zayn and Owens with Joe coming out. So they want to have their moment like stand out on its own. So that's what I'm thinking. We'll see at the next big NXT show. Give it time. Enzo and Cass are the tag team in WWE that they can get the most money out of, or they've marketed the most. They have
definitely
the most merch for.
Definitely.
Even on the main roster, nobody has come close to that. They already have two shirts in NXT. And for a tag team, primetime players, they have two shirts, but how many years are apart were those? And
they were a while. They were a while.
Yeah.
Well, also, don't forget that if they are wanting to tour the NXT as a brand, they're going to have to keep some talent in NXT to put out there as marquee people, and those two are marquee people.
Yeah,
I agree.
They are.
My thing with it is like at the Unstoppable pay-per-view, Heavy, you're right, they had the Joe reveal. They also had the Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch match.
Fuck, that match was amazing.
But they did as much as possible to continue that feud by bringing Alexa Bliss out, because if you remember, all of us picked Kaz and Enzo because we all forgot about Alexa Bliss. So it was something that was good to carry the storyline out. But the problem is that they have not done anything since Unstoppable with that story.
And they just faced them again. They just faced them again. It's just like, oh.
Yeah, that's my ultimate improve for NXT is that it seems like since Unstoppable, there's been a lot of matches that are insignificant or don't mean anything.
Yeah. Or are they in kind of a transition period?
Yeah, I think they're in a transition period. And you always have to understand, too, it's NXT. It is a development thing. So some stuff's going to work, and some weeks are going to be good and some weeks aren't. Just they've had a lot of good weeks, and you know, some weeks they're just not as good. I'm really enjoying the Finn Balor promo. That was amazing. And watching Becky Lynch cry just brought tears to my eyes. That girl is so passionate about what she does, and she's so good at it. Oh, so
the Lego story of watching Finn Balor saying, "This is what I did growing up. I would put on SummerSlam 95 because it's my all-time favorite pay-per-view, and I do Legos," and that's something that has carried on throughout his life.
Mm-hmm.
That is the cool, interesting stuff. Seeing him go through the dojos, him, and then having Matt Bloom there to talk about it, Lord Tensai or Prince Albert, whatever, because Giant Bernard was there at the time that he was coming up. you see that relationship and that correlation. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from the New Japan guys, but I can understand why they weren't there. But having Matt Bloom there to talk about the friendship that they have, just I wanted to cry just because I've been such a fan of Prince Devitt for so long that I really appreciated how well done WWE is doing these backstories of that character. It is amazing.
Yeah, they're building a brand with him. They're definitely building something with him. All right, DRG, what's your was it? I forgot what we talked about so much. Yeah,
Holy shit, Keith. That was only one of them.
Yeah, it was only one.
It was a long topic about NXT. Sorry. I'm going to keep it short since nobody watches the show except for me, but I want to toss the backstage segment with Katrina and Ivelisse and Angelico and Son of Havoc because they had a great segment going on until... Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot Bio. I'm used I'm used to getting shit on. Andy, you don't count. You're from Iowa. Anyways, I liked it. It was a great interaction up until she rose the stone in this... horrible CGI electricity thing came through and these three guys rose from nowhere to attack them. And don't get me wrong, I always say you have to suspend your disbelief with Lucha Underground in order to enjoy it, but this was the first time that I was like, all right guys, come on, that was even too corny for me.
They could have kept the lightning out and done like a fog machine or something and got the same effect that they wanted.
The lightning was just, if they're spending $3 million in a budget for one season, like or however much the reported thing was, and they're worried about spending too much, that's a simple thing that I can tell you, hey, you can get rid of that.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you there.
Did Vamp leave?
Fell asleep. You guys were talking about Lucha Underground. Come on.
That's true. Oh, it's all right. He's about to get a good nap whenever we start talking about TNA. Actually, I'm not sure about that.
Oh, no. I actually think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's going to be. DRG has an issue.
Okay.
Are you there, Vamp?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, are we going to go into this TNA thing?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy. Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. I said I'd give you 10 minutes. Go for it. Rant away.
Fucking hell. I have been called a TNA sympathist. I've been called a sympathist in many regards with TNA, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, anything. But I always look at things from different perspectives. And I always look for the positive. The biggest positive of TNA has always been that their talent roster has been stacked. No matter how stupid or dumb or freaking moronic or idiotic that freaking Dixie Carter is, with her company, she has always had a good core of really talented people. One of which was a man by the name of Austin Aries. And rumors are flying out there about James Storm and Magnus and all these other people leaving. Gunner left, so fucking what? Sam Schultz left. Yeah, I saw potential, but they didn't do anything with them. Not a big loss. James Storm and Magnus are going to be competing with GFW, and they have also already announced that they will be back for the next set of tapings in July. So I don't think they're completely done with TNA. Austin Aries. Franchise of this company, if they had pushed him back in 2012 like they should have, is no longer with that company. And at that point, I have to say, Dixie Carter, you are a freaking idiot for not throwing all of your money. I get letting AJ go away. I get letting Kaz and Daniels go away because they had run their course. Aries never got the full shot that he deserved. And now that you're willing to let these people go that have that untapped potential, I'm willing to say that my fandom for your company is wavering pretty hard.
Oh.
All right.
First off, fuck you for ruining half my news stories. Secondly,
you told me I had 10 minutes.
Secondly, part of that news story is that GFW and TNA are working together. Guess what? I don't know if this was the plan all along, but I think in the last couple months, it's become the plan. Is it going to be a fucking invasion angle with GFW taking over TNA? So they can have that time slot and blah, 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 fucking stupid bullshit. I just really think that's what's going to happen.
And we can say DRG really did say it first.
Like I said, I don't know if that was the plan all along, but it sure as fuck looks like what the plan is now. Because everybody that is quote-unquote leaving TNA seems to miraculously be signing with GFW 2 days later.
But the thing is, the GFW contracts that they're signing are not exclusive deals to only GFW. Half of Bullet Club is signed to GFW while they still have contracts with New Japan.
Go ahead, Bob.
Can I just say that I believe I was one that said that GFW would be on Destination America?
Mm-hmm. Well, you did.
You did say that, but DRG has been calling that they've been working together a very, very long time.
Since December, when Jeff Jarrett and Toby Keith had the secret meetings with Dixie, my idea was that GFW actually did acquire a deal, so to speak, with TNA. And that deal is to absorb TNA into GFW in order to get rid of the bad name brand that is TNA. Let's all agree on this. TNA at this point has absolutely very little value outside of the fact that they have their global deals, which they still do have. Mm-hmm. They have their television deal on Destination America mm-hmm. for however long, we don't know. And they've got a core set of talent signed to that company that are of value. EC3, Bobby Roode, EY, there's some good there. But at this point, the stigma surrounding that company is so far gone that a smart way to get rid of it is to absorb Jarrett's original baby into his new baby. That will keep those TNA loyalists who are still out there from being 100% pissed off, and it'll give the new people a chance to say, yeah, Dixie Carter's gone, the mismanagement's out. Even though they don't realize Dixie Carter's been running this company since 6 months after TNA started, they will say, oh, well, Jeff Jarrett's back in charge. It will be better. It's smart from a business standpoint. I agree with it. I thought it would be brilliant. That's why I pitched the idea. And I love the fact that it looks like it's coming about that way, because I think it will be a successful thing for the talent, not for Dixie Carter or TNA as a company, but for the talent who deserve a place to showcase their craft. It is a smart way of doing it.
I totally agree.
Biohazard.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty glad that they're going this route. I keep tuning in and out of TNA, and the fact that GFW on screen is starting to take over, or they might be starting the takeover storyline. I might actually start watching TNA every week again. So.
Yeah, but does this just basically prolong, I mean, just a short leash? So if it is GFW coming in, if they have 2 weeks of TNA quality television, is anybody going to give a shit?
It's not just that. It's mixing the fact that you're going to have AJ Styles back in GFW, and then the fact that you've got people like Moose from Ring of Honor have been said to be associated with it. If he's going to be on television or not, that's up to Ring of Honor. The fact is Jarrett's trying to make what TNA was back when I started loving watching it, was that anybody from any promotion outside of WWE could be on this show. And that's exactly what Jarrett is doing with GFW at this time. That's why they have so many affiliations. So I can't say that his vision is wrong, because it's something that I as a fan enjoyed. But it's interesting considering that this is going to be a slow burn. People are saying that it's going to happen in September. I see this happening over the course of the next, till Slammiversary next year when it truly comes about. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that you have Jarrett successfully winning TNA's newest title in a King of the Mountain match and then going to GFW with it. That's a pretty cool moment in history, but nothing came about of it on the actual pay-per-view. So we'll see what happens in these next set of Impact tapings and then what happens in July when they tape again. I don't think that they're going to have the actual conclusion of this invasion type thing happen until Slammiversary next year, in which GFW versus TNA winner takes all. Basically, if TNA loses, they go away, and their best talent in EC3 finally loses his first match against an AJ Styles. That right there, in my opinion, is money if booked well.
Okay, let me play.
Hold on, when's Bound for Glory?
Just aired.
That's the only pay-per-view.
October.
That was the only pay-per-view currently listed for TNA, was the SummerSlam. There is no Bound for Glory listed right now.
Can I go on a little rant, or are you going
to
go mine?
Well, let me add something real quick, just to play devil's advocate on the Jarrett winning King of the Ring. What if they're going to use this for the storyline you're talking about with Bram? And this is nothing more than they gave it to Jarrett so that Bram could whoop his ass for it.
It's possible. I don't see
it happening that way, for the fact that Bram isn't after titles. Bram is after...
But Jarrett is the ultimate TNA original.
No.
Even if
Jarrett
he does...
He's the founder, but the ultimate TNA original is AJ Styles.
Yeah, but you're not... I'm talking about currently, right now, theoretically possible. And AJ Styles is not going to be on TNA television.
Mm, if it's for GFW taking TNA's place.
I didn't say that. I said for TNA.
Mm-hmm. And I that's why I don't see it being a brand thing, is because Jarrett's deal, from what he's told, and kudos to Jarrett for doing a good job of not throwing everything out there and only explaining certain parts of the story as he needed. He came back for this one time because he wasn't able to go out the way that he wanted to. Awesome. He won the King of the Mountain match, which leads to more speculation. We know that he is going to go into the TNA Hall of Fame. Those are the three things right now that we know about Jeff Jarrett. Anything else is all speculation, which is why this is such a cool story to talk about. For as shitty as TNA is as a business, the talent in a potential story, this is something that gets me interested.
Oh, fuck. The dirt sheets and all the backstage bullshit is way more entertaining than anything TNA's put out.
The only way it could get worse, though, is if Vince Russo gets brought back.
Oh, yes. Katie, please bring him back.
Katie, I swear. Did you hear about him offering to work for free with TNA?
For free.
He's such a dickhead.
He sent an email to Dixie saying, oh, Dixie, I can fix this. I'll work for free and I can fix this. No. At this point, if this is how they're going, this is the best thing that TNA can do at the moment, because with the whole production crew not getting paid on time and all of these problems that they've had, the stigma that's surrounding it, and Slammiversary was the god-awfulest booked story going into a pay-per-view I have ever seen. I have seen better stories on CZW's Wire TV leading to their pay-per-views than what they had. They didn't book the final card for Slammiversary until Friday when they finally announced the next division match. This card was set up to be bullshit, but a testimony to the roster and talent, it actually had some, not a lot, but some value based upon the wrestling quality.
Okay. To answer Mop's question, I hope it doesn't go that route, but it's TNA. They do dumb things, so that could actually happen, but I hope it doesn't happen. And then some positives to that pay-per-view. Drew Galloway getting his first pay-per-view main event. I thought that was kind of cool for him. Mm-hmm. And I also liked the three-man booth that they had. I liked that a lot better than the Pope and Josh.
I love Mike Tenay.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But
was it motivated Mike Tenay or was it Taz and Tenay Tenay?
No, it was more motivated than Taz and Tenay, but not Tenay and Don West. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, and I then, still want to watch.
And then the technical difficulties, that fucking sucked. That was terrible. Yeah. I would have been pissed if I paid for this, because the technical difficulties and the overall pay-per-view was like a go-home show or a commercial for Bell to Bell, which is on regular TV. That would have pissed me off.
Well, that, and I've seen Ring of Honor pay-per-views have less technical difficulties than this did. They did a smart play in a certain aspect by playing it up that it was part of the James Storm and Magnus situation. That was actually smart. But the problem was is they were having these issues before James Storm and Magnus actually fucked with the table. So, all in all, it could have been going into it. I had no hopes for this being anything outside of the fact that I get to see Matt Morgan again, because I personally like Matt Morgan, in Aries and Richards having a great match. Aries and Richards delivered that. I absolutely love that match. The X Division match I enjoyed because I'm a fan of Tigre Unos, and I'm a big fan of the other two men in TJ Perkins, Manic, and DJZ in the match. And then the King of the Mountain match, for as fucking stupid as the rules are and convoluted, and the fact that Jarrett was the first person in the penalty box, so you knew who the fuck was going to win, it was still crazy. And I liked that chaoticness of the match.
Wait
and
a
Magnus
minute.
Storm delivered.
There's a fucking penalty box in the match?
yeah.
Is this fucking
I've
hockey?
Never,
did he get a five-man
I've
major?
Never, if you I've get, never seen one, but the rules were crazy, man. It was just, it's just nuts.
I like it because it's different. What it is if you get pinned, you have to go into the penalty box for 2 minutes. If you have to hang the title instead of you pulling the title down from the ladder. You have to climb the ladder to hang the title. And the only way you're eligible to do that is if you've scored a pinfall or submission.
So you already have the title in your fucking hand.
No, the title is held by the referees at all times. So say you're climbing a ladder to go hang it up and somebody knocks you off and you drop that title to the ground, the referee comes, scoops it up, and it has to go back to the platform before it's eligible to be hung up again.
Y'all are giving me a fucking headache.
Exactly.
You just have to watch the match. If you watch
it, thank you.
It's actually okay once you watch it, but yeah, trying to think about the rules.
Go back and watch the one where Kurt Angle won the TNA heavyweight title the first time.
The one with Raven was very well done as well. But it's not that the rules are interesting or anything like that. It's that the actual match, when you see AJ Styles on top of that cage, that penalty box, jumping off into the ring to do his little flying forearm, or you see all these cool spots that they introduce into this, it's a new age place for all the high spot junkies to get some cool images from.
And that's one of the reasons why I liked it. Ultimate X was for.
Well, that's for the X division. This is for main event caliber people.
Well, put the fucking main event people in a goddamn Ultimate X match.
No.
Elevation X.
I don't care to see somebody of EC3's caliber in an Ultimate X match, which I have seen before. I just don't think that he should be doing that because it makes his character look more jokey. Whereas the X division guys, they can pull it off because they're known for that high flying and death defying stuff.
What about Elevation X?
No.
That was the most awful match ever.
Terror Dome, where a Homicide gets his leg caught and can't actually climb out. The worst one ever was the Reverse Battle Royal. That was just dumb. First one into the ring wins. Yeah.
Anybody else got anything to say about? Anybody else want to talk about TNA? I'll say one last thing.
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
TNA. There was a interview with Busted Open Radio today in which the people from PWI, and Mop, I'm sure you probably have this in your news, are no longer going to recognize a TNA World Heavyweight Championship as a World Heavyweight Championship in Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Fine, dandy, whatever they want to do. The interview
itself.
Could give
two fucks less what Pro Wrestling Illustrated is going to recognize.
Exactly. The problem is the guy that they had on Busted Open Radio makes comments like, TNA deserves to die. TNA is a horrible place. TNA has no worth and no value. I disagree on the standpoint that there are people that work for that company, that make a living off of that company. People like TJ Perkins, who was homeless 2 or 3 years before signing with TNA, and now has been able to build a house and a home for his family, thanks in part, not all the way, but in part to the money gathered from TNA. There is some worth for these people, like an Austin Aries who never got picked up by a WWE, or people like the Wolves and Davey Richards who wants to pursue his higher education and can't afford to put 5 to 7 days a week into NXT. People like Bobby Roode, who got more of a chance in TNA than what he did whenever he tried out for WWE. There is some merit to having a company like TNA or like Ring of Honor or like any other wrestling alternative out there. So him saying that, I take a lot of offense to, and I, like I said, am known as a sympathist, but that's one of the reasons why I've always supported this company is because of the roster and depth of talent. Even though they pissed me off by letting Austin Aries go, I still have EC3. I've still got Rockstar Spud. I've still got Bobby. I still have some talent there that I will appreciate. It just pisses me off that they allowed somebody like him with as much talent to slip through their fingers.
Did you see the tweets from Busted Open Radio that quoted them? I've seen the one from Bully Ray replying back to it, basically saying, you don't deserve to have a job and all this kind of shit. That's crazy.
Yeah,
he's a fucking wrestling internet journalist. Fuck him.
But the thing is Pro Wrestling Illustrated is a well-respected magazine that puts out the PWI Top 500. Most of these guys who get to be big names like Stone Cold Steve Austin, there's Brian Pillman, there's a plethora of people who were debuted at the number one spot and rose up through those ranks and got looks by other companies based upon this magazine. Go ahead.
That was 20 fucking years ago.
I agree. But it's still considered to have that much of an appeal these days. When people like Ricochet and Biff Busick and all these other people out there are getting noticed and recognition on the indie scene based upon this magazine coming out, it helps them gain exposure so these bigger companies like a WWE can put on this tryout. These guys come in and say, oh, we have heard of you. We've seen some of your work. All right, let's see what you can do for us.
It matters. Any publicity matters as long as it's any publicity. Matters.
Yeah, but
it
that
all
guy, he's a fucking stain and needs to be eradicated.
I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But it does matter when someone talks. It does matter when a publication or the internet in general talk about you. That does help you out in general because you're getting noticed in some way, shape, or something you're doing is correct.
Who buys right. a magazine?
It's online as well, which is where I use most of my magazine dollars is go to online publications.
Well, the PWI, their annual 500 list and their 50 lists for just women, those are really big even within the wrestling business of whether you're on that list, where you are at. And
it matters, man. Yeah.
That's like, I mean, to me, they used to be a really huge publication, but now like they've held on to this, which is very, very unique. And granted, everybody else can come up with a list, but this just has prestige that nothing else does.
Got the history to it.
I agree here. I agree.
It covers so many things. It's not just WWE. It covers everything from these people's work in Ring of Honor to these people work in WXW in Germany to their work in CZW or even lower on the bill.
Okay.
That's where I learned about ECW back in the day. I didn't know anything about it though, PWI.
Does anybody have anything else to say on TNA topic? Anybody want to rant anything else before we move on?
What do you want to say, Vamp?
I don't want to say
I want to hear your opinion.
I don't have any opinion about TNA.
I'm not lying. TNA, bye.
I'm not lying. I talk about it with Bio, but I don't know a lot. So he tells me a lot. You know, it's whatever. I don't watch it. Therefore, I can't really comment on it.
I'm waiting for GFW Impact every Wednesday.
Okay, Vamp. If it does, if GFW does take over the TNA time slot, would you watch it then?
Probably not.
So it doesn't matter what the brand is, who's there, anything.
No, it does matter who's there. If Jeff Jarrett wasn't running it, I would probably try to watch it if it was something else.
Jarrett isn't running TNA.
Jeff Jarrett's running GFW.
TNA. Okay, but he's not running TNA.
But he is running. I know, and
when
I tried.
When he was running
and
TNA,
I watched,
it actually got
and,
built.
And I watched TNA, and I didn't like TNA, and I moved off of it. I watched TNA for 10 weeks. 10 weeks I watched TNA
Hold
for
on.
10 oh, weeks
wait,
straight.
Wait. You watched when? TNA when Dixie Carter was running it right
yes.
before Bound for Glory. Yeah. That had nothing to do with the storyline.
Yeah, I don't. I
That was not Jeff
I tried
Jarrett's
it.
TNA.
I tried
Jeff
TNA.
TNA was actually really good.
I tried TNA. Like I promised DRG, I tried TNA. I watched it every single week, and I don't like Jeff Jarrett.
Right,
I never liked
this?
Jeff Jarrett.
I
never will like Jeff
match?
Jarrett. He's a
Can
fucking
I give you
cunt.
One match to go watch, and you tell me if you like it or not.
One match?
One match.
I'm sure I'll like it. I'm sure I'll like it. I'm admitting right now I will probably like it.
I love TNA, especially when they rub you.
Now I really don't like TNA.
Bastion Booger versus Brooklyn Brawler. Go watch it. You said you'd like it.
I said I would. First of all, I said I would probably like it.
Vamp, why don't you watch Lucha Underground then?
I don't watch Lucha Underground because I don't get it. I don't get the channel. That's what
you don't get Destination America either.
No, I do get Destination America. Remember, I told you I got Destination
America. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
I
so
found
why
it.
Don't you watch Ring of Honor?
I am going to watch Ring of Honor.
They're doing really good right now.
Correct. When I came back from my vacation in January from my parents' house and they get Ring of Honor and I don't, I was pissed about it because I saw commercials for it and I wanted to watch it. I've heard great things about Ring of Honor.
You're not going to watch it.
It's because CM Punk's from Ring of Honor. That's all.
Hey, Vamp. How long
now I'm not
going to
watch Ring of Honor.
How long have you been on vacation?
Hey, man, how long have you been on vacation?
I don't get Ring of Honor right now.
He's on fucking vacation.
Is Ring of Honor
on? It's on Destination America.
It's already. I thought it was. I didn't know that.
It's been there for like a month.
Oh, all right. Well, then I will record it and I will watch it.
It's the hour before TNA.
I did not know it was on TV. I thought they were waiting.
I call bullshit.
Man, you gotta listen to the show more often, babe.
I swear.
About this.
I didn't know it was on TV. I thought they were waiting.
That was like that was a whole 30-minute discussion.
I didn't realize it was on TV. I apologize.
He was taking a piss or drinking beer.
He's talking about it for 3 weeks now.
I don't know why it matters that I watched Ring of Honor or that I didn't know about Ring of Honor.
Vamp, it's okay that you don't. I understand. Like I said, I tend to avoid watching a lot of Raw. I will skip through and find the stuff that matters to me and watch that, but there it gets to a point where there's a lot of stuff that I just don't care about. So I get that. It's not that we're attacking you for only watching that. We're just saying that there is other options just to try.
Yeah, and I agree with you. There is other options I need to try. I don't watch Lucha Underground because I have a feeling I wouldn't like Lucha Underground based on what you guys describe. I'll probably like the matches, but I won't like the storyline, which for me, that eliminates that. I like storyline. I like building things. I do like wrestling too. I like the in-ring stuff, but I also have to have storyline to go along with it.
You like cheesy movies?
I hate cheesy movies. I can't.
At the beginning of Lucha Underground, which is like I watched like the first six, it was actually really good, and it wasn't real fucking cheesy. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it got really cheesy towards the end.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes place in a temple. He's not going to
watch it. ROH. Yeah, I don't know about that either.
I'm surprised you haven't checked out Ring of Honor.
Yeah, ROH definitely sounds like more my style. I'm gonna as soon as I'm done with this, I'm gonna go put it on record. I will watch it this week.
ROH doesn't have as compelling stories.
Wait, it's on tomorrow. I'll watch it tomorrow.
They had Jay Briscoe versus Jay Lethal was a very compelling story, but a lot of when they throw like the Kingdom versus the Bullet Club, it doesn't have a lot of backstory except for that these two factions are competing because Carl Anderson thinks Maria is hot. That's about the most that you get out of it.
All right. Well, I'll try.
Everyone thinks Maria is hot.
So. I was going to say, if that's all it takes to piss them off, I guess we're all in
trouble.
Is
this the Maria that used to be in WWE?
Yeah. Except for she looks a lot better now.
I don't think Maria's hot.
Are you serious?
I don't think Maria's hot.
She's a redhead even.
I don't think she's hot.
She's dark. She has too much tan to her. He likes them white, white meat.
I do like white meat.
He likes it bone white.
I either like white or like really dark.
Now than she
glow in the dark.
No, dark.
No, glow in the dark.
No, I either like white or I like really dark.
No, you like it whenever you turn the lights off, she glows on the bedspread.
Oh, my God.
They're like all a black light.
Well, if you have a black light, everything glows around my house. There you go.
No, I'm saying it's like a black light without having a black light.
Ew. Bios. Bios never coming over to watch WrestleMania ever.
They're all pink on the inside. That doesn't matter, man.
Double A, shut the fuck up.
All right, to finish out the TNA talk and we can be done with it, watch this week to see EC3 win the title and to watch a 30-minute Iron Man tag match. And then after that, do whatever the hell you want.
I am watching ROH this week, I promise.
Have you ever read the children's book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie?
Yes.
If you give DRG 10 minutes.
He'll take 20. Or 25. I know. That's what I get for giving him 10 minutes. All right, guys, let's move on to what is on. Heavy Set, what's on?
Let me see. This week, I think this is mostly related. The Big Show interview on Talk Is Jericho, that was fun.
That was good.
I think I'm going to try to listen to Talk Is Jericho a little bit more now that after I listened to the last audiobook.
Great Golly.
I'm very popular.
Maria Menudo.
John Cena. I still have to. I still have to go watch. I'm going to go watch that Punjab prison.
You're the shit.
What WrestleMania was that Punjab prison?
It wasn't. It was at Armageddon.
SummerSlam.
Okay,
like a Judgment Day.
I heard Armageddon and SummerSlam. What was it at?
2008. Look in that time era.
2008.
Just type in Punjabi prison on Google. You're only going to come up with a toy in the match.
Okay. If I type in Punjab in Google, it's going to come up with something else other than fucking wrestling.
Punjabi prison.
Wait.
Hey, I don't care what any of us say. That wrestling set with the Punjab prison match was pretty freaking awesome. It sucked as a match, but playing with that little thing was pretty fucking cool.
Okay, Biohazard. Wait. Biohazard said it was SummerSlam.
No, I said it was Armageddon.
Who else?
I said SummerSlam, but I think it might be Armageddon.
SummerSlam. Who else want to guess?
Throw out there like Backlash?
Backlash.
Judgment Day.
Okay.
It might have been on one of the In Your Houses.
Katie?
It
was not an In Your House. Katie, you want to guess what pay-per-view?
Insurrection.
I'll say that it was the stupidest thing ever, and I don't care.
Oh,
wow. Was it that one night only? Katie. One night only. Try that one.
Wow. One night only? Anybody want to get it right?
They had one on
SmackDown.
No. It was No Mercy 2007.
No, There was two of them.
I'd give it to Heavy Set because he was probably closest.
Hold on, all time.
I want to know what auto completed when he started writing Poon.
Let's find out. P-U-N. Puns. Poontan. Poontan Square. Punisher.
Vamp. How did you spell it?
Pie? That's the rock right? Pie.
P-U-N-J-B-I.
Oh, good job. I'm proud of you.
Jesus Christ.
If it was Andy, it would have been P-O-O-O-O-O-N-O-N-O. !! @ and then tweets.
Oh, shit.
I just looked up Poontang, man. There's a bunch of good sites.
I'm sure there is. All right. What else is on, Heavy Set?
what pay-per-view did you say it was at?
No Mercy.
What year?
2007.
2007.
I was 1 year off. Damn it.
I also listened to Josh Matthews' podcast this week.
Yeah.
On Monday because Jessica Bly was on there. And pretty much only part of the show I listened to. And it's a very weird moment when she's getting interviewed by someone that I probably know more about than she does. And I fast forward all wrestling talk just to get to that conversation. And I didn't know that Josh Matthews was dating Madison Rain.
Madison Rain?
Yes.
What does she look like?
She's a TNA.
Is she the baby daddy?
Wasn't that Waves?
No, I think that's a previous relationship.
Oh, she's cute. Yeah.
I think two other people refer to her as Foot Face.
Man, she got some big ass fucking titties, man.
Madison Rain has a foot face. Her voice is annoying, but at the same time, I give her credit for coming back from a pregnancy as fast as she did. She had that baby out.
Damn good.
You guys are telling me that you guys are telling me you kick this out of bed.
No. I probably wouldn't kick Karma out of bed.
Wow.
I don't think you would be able to kick her out of bed.
I don't think Karma would let me kick her out of bed.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Did you, hold on, I gotta say this. Did you ever see, I'm sure I didn't see it. There was a One Night Only that had Spud tag teaming with Awesome Kong. And it was by far the hilarious thing, watching Spud get smitten with Awesome Kong. It was just great. If you ever get a chance and you're bored at your mind, look up Rock Star Spud and Kong. That was great.
Good on
you, Josh.
You have
to turn everything back into TNA.
Josh Matthews, man.
No, just remind me.
Good on you, Josh Matthews. She's fucking hot. Good on you, Josh Matthews.
This guy got let go by WWE, gets picked up by TNA, and he starts banging her. Can I work for WWE and get fired, too?
I wish I can look for WWE and get fired. All right.
And
what else have you? No, what else?
Great American Bash 2006 was the other one. Punjabi Prison.
What was the one with The Undertaker?
Great American Bash 2006.
All right, thank you.
Oh, my God. They actually did two of those.
They did three.
It was supposed to be Undertaker versus Kali, and he had a issue with his visa, so they put Big Show in the match.
Yeah, I'd rather much rather watch that than fucking Kali.
I was kind of just in the mood to listen to a podcast, but didn't know what, but I wanted to actually hear more on one of my favorite actresses, Felicia Day. And I realized we're in the age that podcasts are so rampant that you can type in someone's name and you could probably find them on a podcast.
Yeah.
So I listened to, from about a month or so ago called the JV Club.
Yeah.
I forget the chick who's, her initials are JV, but it just Felicia Day and her talking. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. She's made some pretty good appearances on The Nerdist, and, she did a really heavy, go back and listen to a Smodcast where she was on. She did a really, really good Smod. It was an old, it's like probably a year and a half to 2 years old.
I was looking for something recent. I forget the first one that came up. It was a couple of years old. And then this one was only like a month or two old.
Yeah.
Like she actually talked about her book that's coming out in August. I actually pre-ordered on Audible because she's reading it. So, I mean, that's a cool lot. I like her. She's awesome.
Fuck, you and I are too much alike. God damn it. Katie, the first lady. What's on, Katie?
I'll start with non-wrestling related.
Okay.
I watched a couple of classic Queen concerts because Freddie Mercury is awesome, and I've always been a big fan of them.
What brought that up? What made you watch that? Was it this controversy between Kanye and Freddie Mercury going on?
What was that?
Before I even knew about that. It's
fucking Kanye running his fucking mouth, dumb bitch.
No, not Kanye.
I get into that because that's just stupid, period. But I've been a fan of them for
Kanye
a while.
Everybody.
So... I bought a CD of I bought music of theirs a few years ago, and I really like the music. It's been a while since I've listened to them, but I like their videos. I watch their videos constantly.
Hell yeah, they got good shit.
Silhouette of a man.
Got a moose. Got a moose.
Can you do the fandango?
Bicycle.
Fat bottom gas.
Looking back on that,
Stone
I mean,
Cold Crazy,
a great showman, and
fuck,
I wish
he
was here now.
You see that guy in concert, man? He was amazing.
Because he was under pressure.
He took one for both teams from a disease no one knew existed.
What else, Katie?
Another one bites the dust.
Now that we're fucking insulting people with AIDS, what else?
Well, wrestling related, I watched the Daniel Bryan Blu-ray and Jerry the King Lawler Blu-ray.
How were they?
They were both good. I mean, from Jerry Lawler's history is interesting. I love the whole Andy Kaufman stuff. I mean,
how in detail did they get with the Andy Kaufman? Like, how long did they spend on it?
It was a good while. I mean, it was a good while. They talked about, like, the whole history of it and, like, everything was a whole work and everything and stuff. And it was fun. I like in each chapter, right before he gets to talking about someone, they show him drawing it because he's a really good artist.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's right nice. Before each chapter, he does a little artwork. There's a good one of Vince, Shane, and Vince nice. Sr. that he drew.
Why was he talking about Shane?
Well, he was just talking about the McMahons in general, how he gave them, like, this job now, still being a commentary. Mm-hmm. The only thing that was awkward is towards the end, they talk about his heart attack, and they have footage of him on the stretcher getting CPR, which I thought was a little awkward to watch.
That's intriguing stuff right there.
But it's just like, why would you film that? Like, what if he died on camera?
Then they have his last moments on film. Later. There you go.
Well, no. If he would have died on camera, they wouldn't have shown it because technically they probably have footage of Owen Hart falling.
I know they have footage of Owen Hart falling.
And you know that they will never release that because he actually died. But
yeah, no.
To come back, they could have a comeback story that he. Yeah.
Katie, do they talk about his wives?
Well, they had the cat on there talking.
Wow. What does she look like?
She looks good for her age still. I mean, she's nice looking and everything. They talked about when they fired her and he quit to be with her.
For her age, how old is she?
She can't be
Can't be older than me, right?
Bob wouldn't 22.
She's definitely still younger than Lawler, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe she's in her mid to late 30s now.
Let's see.
Yeah, that's guess. Real old. Thanks a lot, Katie.
No, she's
old to me.
Well, most divas, after they retire, some of them get really worse. I mean, look at Chyna.
Yeah, but then you look at Melina.
Chyna fell down a hole. Chyna fell down an ugly stick. She's 44.
Oh, okay.
Chyna fell off the fucking... Oh, wait, she was never really on the same
trip. No, she was. She was at one point.
Yeah, but I said she was ugly as shit.
She shouldn't have done it. She shouldn't have done it with Howard Finkel and Doink.
The cat looks pretty good. Her name's Stacy Carter. She looks pretty good.
Alondra Blaze come through it pretty goddamn good.
Yeah, Alondra. Yeah. Alondra, she missed that. She didn't fall off like everybody else did. Sunny looks like shit.
And she's wanting to do porn.
Ugh, she looks
horrible. I think Alondra Blaze is having surgery.
Yeah, probably.
That's very possible.
Yeah, but she also has that like southern... real redneck girl aspect going to her, so she is a little bit more homely. She pulls it off.
She's as old as my ex. She's
Terry Reynolds looks hot too.
That's she Melina. Still looks hot?
I haven't seen a picture in a while.
Melina.
There's a picture of her at Tara, Lisa Marie.
Last time I saw her, she was trying to sell ring gear online.
Terry Reynolds is hot with makeup. See her without makeup.
Yeah, it's not good. She wasn't good looking.
A lot of them are that way.
She wasn't good looking without makeup back in the day.
Yeah, but she's at the worst end where I think she takes it on.
Big time. Yeah, I can't fucking stand when they put so much goddamn makeup on Renee. Ellie. It drives me crazy.
Look at Ellie. Lana's face.
Yeah, Lana too. They put a ton of makeup on Lana.
Takes it on like ice cream at a 5-year-old's birthday.
Lana looks better without the red lipstick when she has like pink
on. Fuck yeah, she does. She looked so much better without makeup.
Makes her look too.
Same thing with the Bellas. The Bellas put so much fucking makeup on. It's horrible.
Looks like
this
page.
Paige doesn't put
that's
that much
all powder,
makeup.
Dude. That's not makeup.
Paige is powder.
Look at her eyes. Look at the how.
Yeah, that's detail work stuff.
She always has someone find.
She always did the eye makeup.
Paige.
Paige. That is annoying to me.
It looks like a raccoon.
And if you, I think, I've noticed eye makeup more when you, like, especially go on Facebook and you see, like, oh, see, all these porn stars, what they look like before and after makeup.
I don't care.
What they're wearing for porn is the heavy eye makeup. So, like, she's wearing that. I'm like, everybody says she's so hot. Take off the fucking makeup.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
If you follow her on Instagram, there was a picture posted. Without makeup.
Yeah,
she looks great.
I'm looking at her right now. Paige. I'm looking at her right now.
And Lana.
And Paige is too young not to look good without makeup. Are you crazy? Yeah, she's like 20. She's
22.
Lana doesn't look that. She looks great too, but she's young too.
Stacey Keibler looks great. Like, especially this role. They had a lot of makeup on her face.
Who?
Lana.
Lana, yeah. Yes. It's sometimes that WWE makeup crew goes fucking crazy with the makeup. It's just horrible.
Yeah, they put a lot of makeup on Nicole Bass. That didn't help either.
No, that's not gonna help.
Get to the Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Give us your review about that. Because I'm thinking about buying one of those. At least one of them.
Daniel Bryan Blu-ray was good. I mean, the documentary was the documentary that was last year of him going to WrestleMania leading up and stuff like that.
That's
and
it?
It's a little bit extended, but it's still a good story for him in some ways. Hang on.
How extended is it?
About 10 minutes more. I mean, there's more backstage footage.
I'm not buying that shit. Fuck that noise.
Stuff like that. What I liked more, though, because there's two discs Blu-ray. The second disc has his matches throughout his career, and he talks about it, which you could tell it's filmed more recently. He talks about each match right before they go right into it. Mm-hmm. And like the most recent match they had on there was him versus Roman at Fastlane. And it was good. And he confirms the fact that he was supposed to face Sheamus at WrestleMania, but then with Punk leaving and Batista not getting a well reaction, they had no choice but to put him in the main event. So it's a good documentary. I like his story as well. They're both good. I recommend them.
All right. I'd probably recommend the Jerry the King Lawler one over the Daniel Bryan one.
Yeah. They're both good in their generations wise. I mean, if you're an old school person, you'll like Jerry Lawler.
But the Daniel Bryan one, you said it was like only 10 minutes of new footage. It's fucking bullshit.
I think it's going to depend on the person you are. If you're the person,
and
like
there's
me,
extras too. There's Blu-ray extras.
Yeah, like I know I'm the kind of person. I don't care if I get something on the network. I know you and a couple other people. Like sometimes, like I think I've gotten something. Those two packs of DVDs, and they have like events on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you and other people are like, well, some of those are on the network. I'm like, I don't care. I bought it for the other thing, but like I have a physical copy of something else. It doesn't bother me because I can just go on the network.
I much prefer to have things heavy. Like on certain things, like the Jerry the King Lawler, I would probably like it because, you know, he's an icon. I grew up to his voice. It's just like JR. I grew up to his voice. But like, you know, Daniel Bryan doesn't. He'd never really meant a whole lot to me. So, you know, I'll just watch it on the network, especially since it's an already a network documentary and all you're going to have is bonus matches and stuff. That doesn't really appeal to me. I want to hear more. I want more in-depth stuff. That's why I didn't buy the Sting thing, because the Sting thing was just his matches. And I was like, I don't need to see that. I want to hear him. I'm probably going to get the... I'll wait for that. I'll wait. Bio, what's on?
Well, I watched Swerve last night. Wasn't as good as the first one. I don't know if you guys caught it. They did like fart jokes.
Yeah, I watched it. It wasn't as good as the first one. Yeah. Although I do like... I still like the door thing. I like them... Seth Rollins and Barrett was...
Rollins got so pissed.
Oh, man, he was pissed. That shit makes me laugh, but it's...
I'm the world heavyweight champion.
I know. I'm headlining this. There would be no main event if I wasn't here. I love that shit. But the other stuff just wasn't that funny. It just didn't.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
And then I watched one of my favorite childhood movies. I don't know if you guys heard of Holes.
Yes. I'm old. How old does everybody feel right now?
I was in fifth grade going to sixth grade.
Oh, fucking God.
My childhood movie was The Goonies.
Yes, thank you, Katie. Thank you, Katie. Thank you. Yes, mine was too.
My childhood movie was Ernest Goes to Camp.
I had the fucking Goonies on. I still have. I bet my parents still have The Goonies on VHS.
Anyway.
I didn't see The Goonies until I was like 17, 18.
Really? Wow.
Maybe later. It was not just one of those movies that my parents didn't have.
You are a little bit younger than me and Katie, so.
I'm roughly the same age as Katie. We are the same age.
Katie, how old are you?
29.
Oh yeah, I'm a little bit older than both of you. Never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm older than both of you.
My favorite movie growing up was actually a movie that came out like a year before I was born. Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Yep.
Holes was a good movie. I liked it. I thought it was real cool. I've let my kids watch it a couple times.
Yeah, but he said it was his childhood movie, TRG.
That was a movie when I was that age. I also read the entire book, too.
That would do it.
I read Holes roughly when it came out, and I was in seventh grade. It didn't come out until, I can't remember, in high school or after high school.
Yeah. What else, Bao?
TNA, Lucha Underground, NXT, Raw, a little bit here and there. TV shows wise, that's about it. I picked up Dead Rising 3 again. I'm trying to beat that.
Why? Oh, why? That's such a horrible
game.
It's
fun in spurts, but I can only play it for a couple hours and I have to put it down.
That game
there's
is
only
just...
so many killing of zombies you can do.
Yeah, there's a story to it, and that's the fun part, but... running around trying to get from A to B, and there's like 1,000 zombies between you and point B.
and your weapons degrade. It's so annoying.
Yeah, the first one was by far the best just because it was so many interesting combinations for weapons.
Yeah.
I like this one because it's got the vehicle options. Vehicles are more cool. Open world.
It is more open world. Yeah, you don't always have to be at point A and point B at a certain amount of time. You have a lot of free time when in the other ones you did not have any. The second one was probably the worst one out of all of them. It was the most stringent one. You had to be at this thing at this certain time. I was like, this is so stupid. Why do I have... This makes no sense.
I like that they added the combo aspect to the vehicles as well.
Yep, yep.
Where you can combine a motorcycle and a fucking... it's a steamroller.
Steamroller, yeah.
So it's called a roller hog, and it's basically a motorcycle with the steamroller on the front.
Spits flames on the front.
And it's got flamethrowers on it.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking cool.
It's pretty cool. I mean, I do like that game. It's just, it's really tough to play.
I don't have any other games I really want to play right now. And if I'm going out of town next week, I'm probably going to pick up a DS game. Since I'm not driving anywhere.
Wait, you have an Xbox One, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I should let you borrow some of my games. I'll let you borrow some of my games.
There's just not a whole lot of games. Like, there's a couple of games I go, maybe that's interesting, but
yeah.
It's not a matter of money. It's just a matter of letting me be interested in the game. Yeah.
I've got such a vast backlog. Like, I never finished Assassin's Creed 3, so I need to do that one.
No, you'll be all right.
I never got to finish all of God of War 3. There's so many on my back burner to play.
Those are both skippable games, trust me. Mob Jockey, what's on, man?
A lot of HBO shit. Watch John Wick.
Oh, I just rewatched that again. The funny thing is, I saw it on an HBO commercial. I was like, oh shit, John Wick's on HBO now. And then I was flipping through channels the other night. I was like, oh, John Wick's on. And it was right after they killed the puppy.
That was so fucked up.
And it's like,
spoiler alert.
Fuck that. I already.
Commercials, dumbass.
I talked about fucking John Wick a while ago on CSAT Talk.
And what is it with that guy, that character? In Game of Thrones, he's fucking, what's his name? Rot?
No, he's the, not Rot. Reek, yeah.
And in this one, he's the fucking puppy-killing piece of shit.
Russian.
Yeah.
He just has that swarmy, weaselly look about him. That actor just plays that part perfectly. He just does it really well. He is that self-righteous, swarmy, he's like the Miz.
And there was a lot of guys in or a lot of people in that are like on their way up, like the chick in it plays Bobby in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
She's fucking
on Friday Night Lights.
She's so hot.
She's so fucking hot.
But she's like 6'2", dude.
And the bartender's even hotter.
She's hot. She's hot.
One of the guys that come in did the cleanup is the commissioner from the Spider-Man or the editor, the chief editor guy.
Jameson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's one of the half a second cleanup guys.
What was his name from The Wire was in it? Edwards? This is Edwards? No, it wasn't Edwards. It was the black guy from The Wire.
He's in The Fringe, too.
Oh, he's also in Fringe, and he's been doing credit card commercials.
The older black guy.
Yeah, real thin kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of the guy that played the owner of the Continental.
Yes,
I can't think of his name.
He was in The Wire too.
Was he in The Wire?
Yeah,
no.
He was. Yes, he was. Yes, he was. He was the lieutenant in The Wire. He was the main guy. He ended up divorcing his wife in the end and marrying the white detective or the white attorney.
I don't remember him.
Yeah.
I don't remember him in The Wire.
Yeah, he was the head. He was the head sergeant or.
I remember him from Deadwood.
Yeah, he was in Deadwood, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That's such a good show.
How much are those gold coins worth?
One dead body.
Evidently a fucking lot.
One body. Each gold coin is one body.
That, no.
And John Wick, too, they're going to go deeper into that world of assassins, they said. They're going to explain.
It's going to be worth more than one.
No.
Because
each
coin is one
body.
When he came in to clean up the bodies.
There was 12 bodies. He gave him 12 coins.
Oh, see, I only saw one.
No, there was 12 bodies. He gave him a stack of 12 coins.
Still, it was a really good show. I wish I could watch it on something more than just my phone.
Oh, my God. What the fuck, man?
I have HBO Now. I don't have HBO Go.
Wait, you have an Xbox One.
It's not on. I can't get HBO Now subscriptions on the Xbox yet.
You can't. What? Wait a minute.
Yes.
What's an HBO Now?
it's the separate like Netflix type service.
And that's, you can't use your HBO. That's not HBO Go. You can only get that
on Apple at this point.
It's the premium service without having the actual channel.
I have to keep
it. But you already have HBO. So
I know, but remember we were talking about this last week. I was thinking about cutting all my cables and shit.
Yeah. Well, they're working. They're working on getting other stuff going.
As soon as that happens, let me know. If I can get HBO Go and I can get Game of Thrones outside of HBO, outside of my cable, I'm good. I'm in.
Yeah.
But I have to have an HBO Go so I can put it through my Xbox to my big screen TV.
Yeah, I definitely want to watch that on the big screen.
Yeah.
Because and not watch it. I ended up watching it in like three fucking segments on breaks at work.
Yeah.
So
I do highly recommend Newsroom. If you haven't watched it yet, you will like it. I know. John Oliver is
Jeff Daniels, isn't it?
Yes, it's Jeff Daniels. John Oliver is an actual really news show. Newsroom is a TV show. Did you ever watch Sports Night?
Yes.
Way back, did you like it?
Yeah, it was all right.
It was written by the exact same guy.
Oh, really?
Yep. His name's Aaron Sorkin. Love his writing. He also wrote Moneyball.
Okay.
There's a
He didn't. The Moneyball is a book before it was ever.
Well, no, he wrote the screenplay of Moneyball.
There's a monologue that Jeff Daniels does from that show where he's talking about the presidency and running for it. And he talks about America, if it's like the best ever or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he just goes through this about 5 to 8 minute speech that is just amazing. Amazing writing, and it was delivered very well by Jeff Daniels.
If you guys go back and listen to the first episode of Cerebral Satire, it's the end of the episode. I play it on Cerebral Satire.
Did you? Oh, it was so beautiful.
Yeah, remember you asked me where that was. You asked me where I got that from.
No, I didn't, because I watched the show. I knew where it was from.
Oh, maybe you just said, hey, nice job. What else, Mom? Is that it?
I mean, the other stuff on there. I watched that John Oliver show.
Did you watch Players?
Players.
Yeah, the new rock show.
Oh, Ballers?
Ballers.
Ballers.
Come on. Yeah, I did. I don't think it's going to be for most people because it is very football centric.
Mm-hmm.
But I
like sports movies. I don't like sports, but I like sports movies. Like one of my favorite movies of all time is For the Love of the Game.
It's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be on anybody's top anything lists. But
it's kind of like that ESPN. It's kind of like that ESPN show they had about NFL players. It reminded me a lot.
And I like
you talking about Broke.
And I like Rob Corddry. So
I can't remember what the hell it was called. It was.
You're not talking about the 30 for 30s, are you?
No. What's it called, Heavy? Like what's it called? TV shut up. What's it called, Heavy?
Hard Knocks?
You're talking about the one
Hard Knocks?
Danny, what's his name while he's with the Jets?
Whitehead.
Woodhouse.
No, it was called Players or... I know what you're talking about, Double A. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know what you're talking. I know what you're talking about, Double A. It was like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah,
I mean, it was fine.
What else? What else is on?
The Brink is really fucking funny. It's actually really good.
What is that on?
It's on HBO.
That's that show you and Ant were talking about on Satire this week.
That's actually really good. That's pretty funny.
It's Jack Black, Jeff Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really funny.
I think that's about the only two name real. No,
the
guy that plays the president. I've seen him in a million Jeff Bridges things too. No, Jeff Bridges Daniels. Plays his Secretary
Daniels.
Of State.
Jeff Daniels.
No, it's not Bridges. God damn it. You're thinking of the guy that plays the Secretary of State. The guy that plays the president is like I want to say he's Hispanic of some sort.
What?
Hang on. Yeah. Hang on. I can't think of.
What else you watching?
God damn it. Fuck. Nothing else really important.
Okay. Double A.
Playmakers was the show I was trying to.
That's it. About. That's it.
It was back in 2003. It was a long fucking time ago. Holy shit. I was watching Tough Enough. I watched it right before this show.
You want to talk about it?
Sure.
Go ahead. Wait.
I thought Bio was the official Tough Enough reporter.
Yeah. Bio can be.
Yeah, bring it up. Yeah, but he didn't bring it up.
Go ahead, Double A. Tell us about it. What? Jesus Christ. Tell us about it.
I voted for Sara Lee. I put all my Twitter accounts up and voted for Sara Lee.
I voted for Sara Lee, too. She's hot.
Yeah, she's nice. The funniest part was they were one of the challenge they had. They had to swim out to this pole,
that
swim
shit
back.
Was so fucking ridiculous. Oh my god.
the I can't think of his name. The black guy. And he's He was swimming. Swimming. They threw like a life jacket out to him, and every time he tried to get to it, it'd swim farther and farther away.
And then
they're like, stand up.
Lita was like, stand up, dummy. And he stood up, and he's like in like ankle high water.
At his knees, yeah, it's like at his knees.
All right, I'm going to go on a tangent. Everybody else got their teenage tangent. I'm going on a fucking tough enough tangent, okay? These motherfuckers are the biggest pussies in the entire world. All of them are fucking pussies. All of them. They bitch and moan about the fact that they lose these challenges. This person cheated. That person cheated. Blah, 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 blah. Wah, wah. Fucking crybaby motherfuckers. All this drama is bullshit drama about the fact that they don't like each other. They don't want this. They don't do that. I want to talk to this person. I miss my wife. I miss my kids. Blah, 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 blah. Shut the fuck up. What the fuck did you think you were signing up for, you dumb bitches? Did you think you were signing up for a fucking daycare lesson? Is that what you wanted to sign up for? That you want to sign up for? Go to the fucking corner store and sign up for that shit. If you want to be fucking tough enough, stop calling your wife every fucking 5 minutes and telling her how much you miss her, you fucking idiot. All of them are fucking retards. Don't go to fucking WWE. They work 300 days a year. You think you're going to be able to put up with that when you can't go 5 fucking days without talking to your wife? Are you fucking kidding me? You idiots. I can't stand this shit. This is why I like the fucking Stone Cold Steve Austin one, and I didn't like the rest of them, because the rest of them are just real world bullshit. It's just a bunch of kids yelling at each other about all kinds of nonsense about the fact that one person's better than everybody else. It's retarded, and I don't want to fucking see it, and I don't think I'm going to fucking watch the show anymore.
I like ZZ.
Can I say 2 words?
Yeah, go ahead.
Reality television.
It's whoa, not even whoa. That. It's worse than that. This is the worst of WWE. What?
Man, don't feel bad. Their premiere episode last week had worse ratings than Chrisley Knows Best and barely beat the ratings of the Modern Family reruns.
Yeah, that totally explains.
That's why the show is 2 hours of Raw each week.
Correct. That totally explains why they're running Raw right before it. It's horrible. The whole thing is horrible. They should have never done a format like this. The entire format is fucking awful. It's horrible.
I think if they did this, they should have done it on MTV or something like that, not USA Network.
No. The problem is they have people that aren't in the performance business trying out for a performing art. They needed at least half of those people to be actual trained indie wrestlers.
Yeah, if you go back and watch, first of all, I don't know why the fuck, I know why they're doing this live. They're doing this live because they're trying to get people to watch it. Nobody fucking wants to watch this group of people, first of all. Second of all, they know what's successful. The Stone Cold Steve Austin season, and I'm not saying he's the only reason why it was successful, but it was a successful season of Tough Enough because it told a good story of a group of people. What?
It was not successful.
It wasn't?
Your TV might have been great, but look what you produced.
Cameron.
None of them.
Great. Andy Levine. Heavy, yeah, he was awesome.
Heavy. None of them have been successful. There's no one from Tough Enough that's ever gone off to do anything successful.
Would it be better if this went straight to the network instead of TV?
Yes. No. Absolutely.
It's still the same garbage show.
And what's terrible is they got an hour show on the network after the fucking thing.
Yeah, and that is better than the fucking show.
Isn't that hosted by The Miz?
Yes, I heard The Miz is better than the actual fucking show.
So does Miz not like appear on SmackDown anymore? Is that just how this works?
I guess not.
Can I say the best part of Tough Enough last week was Paige in her outfit?
Yeah, and this week too.
Yeah, they look big.
Those fucking titties, man. She got those titties out right, son.
It's a push-up bra.
Yeah, it is. Right. I know it is. It's a very good push-up bra.
Not talking about mine, so.
Katie don't care. All right. Anybody? DRG, what's on? God, we got to hurry up. We're running way over, guys.
Once on Simple, I started watching Lost because I've always heard about Lost.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
I'm about 6 episodes in and I really like it. It's entertaining. I'm enjoying it. It just sucks knowing the end because everybody had already talked about the end for so long. So I'm like, oh, this would have been great if I'd have actually watched it at the time. But I watched that. There was a new episode of The Between that Netflix thing that Mop got me into. I really liked. Watched The Wedding Ringer with Kevin Hart. And I was impressed. I was impressed because it made me laugh at spots that I didn't think it was going to make me laugh at. Like, there was a lot of, like, real coy and subtle things, like him lying to the chick from Big Bang Theory. She's all, how don't you think this, this, da, 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 da. And he's like, oh, no, if, you know, your best friend was something Aquafresh, would you use Colgate? I thought that was clever. It made me laugh, but...
at least I can bait some chicks. You're a priest. What the fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
I've said it before. I don't understand Kevin Hart. I don't think he's funny at all.
Either.
I actually like him.
I like his stand up, but his movies have all been like, eh. And this one was the first one. I was like, okay, I actually enjoyed this.
I might watch CIA, the one with The Rock and him.
Get Hard was good. Get Hard was funny.
I never watched. That's the one with him and Will Ferrell in it.
Yeah, I don't like Will Ferrell.
I don't care much for him or his white version either.
Yeah, me neither.
Dane Cook.
Yeah. I think Kevin Hart has more depth in his comedy than what Dane Cook did, because like him talking about his son, you know, being in the oven because he does a little, oh, my son's so retarded, he does this kind of stuff. It makes me laugh because I have kids that do retarded stuff too. So it's interesting hearing him talk about his baby, you know, his little girl cursing him out. But from a movie role standpoint, he just kind of plays that stereotype character so much. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
There was another one.
Is that a bigger problem with Hollywood, or is that a problem with...
Yeah, I mean, he turned into Al Pacino before he established himself as Al Pacino.
There was another one that I watched called Ex Machina that was good in certain things, like the setting, the design, the music, the choices. Like from a film standpoint, there was some really good stuff there. But from a story standpoint, because I'd heard like Old School at the Movies guys and a whole bunch of people brag about it, the story let me down because I already saw what was coming before it ever happened. And I was just like, I guess because I listened to so many other people's opinions. It's like with Avatar. I hated Avatar because everybody had bragged about how beautiful and awesome and great this movie was.
I never saw it.
Well, and then I watched it. I'm like,
it
wasn't anything special compared to a lot of other stuff. Yeah, it was cool with the CGI, but...
It's Dances with Wolves with a lot of blue people.
Yeah.
Exactly. Basically, that's a pretty good analysis.
The only Avatar I'll watch is an Airbender.
Anything else, Deirdre?
Besides that, just playing Sonic All-Stars with the kids. I went on a camping trip last night that got rained out about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, so I had to drive 2 hours through the hellstorm and torrential downpour with 80-mile-an-hour wind. But other than that, it's been pretty lax.
Cool, man. Awesome. My what's on this week, I already talked about Tough Enough. I watched Swerve, talk about that. I watched the preview for Monday Night War. They're calling it Monday Night War First Shot, the one with Triple H and Sting. Anybody else see that on the network?
I did.
Where they were talking about the Monday Night Wars. I saw it. I didn't get to watch it, but I saw that they...
It was actually really cool.
So what are they
going
to do?
They watch, from what I've heard on the DVD set, is they play each episode of Monday Night War, and then they go into a commentary of it, or they're commentarying while they're watching it or something like that. But it's Renee Young. It's Renee Young with her really nice legs between Triple H and Sting. And I really, really actually enjoyed them, both of them talking.
Sounds like another
night
in China.
Another night in China?
I'm leery about it because they're going to get to certain parts in Nitro or in Raw's history where they're going to not focus on everything about it. And I get it. It's to save time and whatnot. But I've always been leery about putting anybody that's employed by the WWE to give a honest opinion about what happened in this company beforehand.
From what I saw in the preview, that's what I saw in the preview. You won't be able to see the DVDs or Blu-rays till the 13th or something like that. 13th. Something like that. It seemed pretty cool. I mean, Triple H and Sting, they were both attacking their own brand. I wouldn't say they were both attacking it. They were both commenting on their own brand because Renee was asking the questions. So Renee's asking the questions, and
like
they're both answering
it. Kind of thing.
Correct. Yeah. Like, what was the worst thing you guys ever did in WWE or whatever, and what was the most embarrassing thing or whatever? So I think they're gonna go through each segment and comment on it, and I like when I get to hear that's interesting.
Oh,
stuff for me, that's interesting
for sure.
Yeah, I mean it's a I think it's a DVD first, and it's probably going to be on the network later. So
if they made that a series, because I love Sting so much, and I love Triple H for what he does for the WWE, I would love to see them sit down and not have the cameras rolling, just to sit there and listen to him talk about it. It would be amazing. So putting that on a DVD would be a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool. Katie?
Yeah, it looks cool to watch and stuff. I mean, I'm excited to see what they talked certain moments, like when DX evaded WCW, like what was Sting thinking when that happened?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, they mentioned a couple of those spots. They mentioned the fact that 80,000 people jumped over on Mick Foley. They mentioned the tank coming in. They mentioned a bunch of stuff. So I'm interested in watching that. And the last thing I got is I've been playing the fuck out of Batman Arkham Knight. The fuck out of it.
You lucky motherfucker. Oh, my God.
I already finished the storyline. It's only been out for a week.
Fucking traitor.
It's only been out for a week and I already finished the storyline.
Traitor? No, there's, when it comes to video games, it doesn't matter which side writes it. It's awesome.
No.
No.
He fucking left Witcher 3 to go play Batman.
I'm going back to Witcher. I'm going back to Witcher. I'm 96% done with Batman already.
That's awesome.
I played the dude. I played that game like it was a second job.
If it's anything like, if it's anything like the old Batman's, that 8% is going to take you 600 hours.
It's all Riddler, dude. It's all Riddler, man. I'm gonna.
Did you ever go outside yet? Have you gone outside?
Outside
since, like, you started playing.
He didn't go outside beforehand. Why would he now?
Why would I go outside? It's hot out there. There's this really weird thing in the sky that's really bright.
He either works or play video games.
Exactly. It's the only thing I do.
Reminds me of Nick Swartz's character on the bench warmer.
Hey, I also run a podcasting network on the side. Thank you very much. What, Mom?
Did you not notice the pale skin on his head?
Yeah, exactly. God.
His attraction to pale women.
You guys wait till I get my sermon at the beach and I post it on the DSJNP.com website.
You're gonna look really weird with a red, blonde mohawk.
Gonna be so burnt. I don't have blonde hair.
He's gonna be the reverse Sheamus.
Mop, I do not have blonde hair.
Okay, did you have highlights?
No, I have baby thin hair.
Reverse.
So you have cane hair.
Baby thin hair.
Yes, I have very thin hair. I've had very thin hair all of my life.
It sure looked blonde.
He's getting old and his hair's thinning. Leave him alone.
It's turning gray.
Bio, tell them I do not have blonde hair.
It's like a dirty blonde. It's a light brown.
Thank you.
It's not a dirty blonde. It's not even close to a dirty blonde. He doesn't even know. Shut the fuck up,
okay,
all of you.
Okay, Connor.
Dirty all right, man.
Let's go into the news. Beep, 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 beep.
Okay,
beep,
we're going to make this beep, quick. Beep, I had please. Some sound effects, but you fuckers took too long.
Yep, make it quick.
The Dolph situation. He came out sometime over the weekend, said Boston Herald interview. And this is from him. I mean, it feels like I started here. I should end my career in WWE. I feel like they like having me around, and I love working here. So why would I really fuck me? So it would be really hard to walk away.
Yeah,
that's what he said in the Herald.
Okay.
Then he comes out Monday afternoon to 106.7 The Fan and said he has not signed a new contract, despite commenting in Boston Herald over the weekend that he strongly implied that he had.
Where did I read that?
So figure it the fuck out.
Okay, what else you got?
So when is this contract up?
I think we figured it out around September-ish.
Yeah, it's right around SummerSlam.
Maybe he'll make a decision by then after SummerSlam.
It could all be a work.
Uprocks.com says Dolph has reportedly signed a multi-year deal and remain in WWE mid-cards.
Yeah, but that was based on the Baltimore Herald.
The thing is,
with the Baltimore Herald, you're going off of a reporter taking notes down from a conversation, whereas they quoted
him directly as saying that.
This one says, This one says, Mike Johnson over at PW Insider. Oh, this is based on PW Insider. Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
That's the thing, though, is in that Baltimore Herald thing, did he say, I signed a contract with WWE?
No, he just implied that he had signed.
He just said, why would he move now? He's making this much money. Fuck it.
Right. So what do you do? Do you take what is implied off of a conversation or the words out of his mouth? And yes, it could be a work, but at the same time, hearing it from the horse's mouth.
But they're both out of his mouth.
I take it out of his mouth. I will take any. It doesn't really matter. Fuck it. It don't matter.
That's like a guy talking about how he really likes a woman. He's signed. Would love to marry her, but
he's going to resign because they're going to and give him at least $1 million, and he's going to go fuck off.
Well,
who gives a shit?
Well, if you listen to that first quote, it doesn't sound like he signed. It just sounds like he wants to stay.
Yeah, that's
like
what it sounds
like. He wants to end his career there.
Well, no, they were just saying that he basically implied that he is going to sign, or has or already or will sign. So who knows? They may use it in a fucking storyline. Who the fuck knows?
I think he'll wait until SummerSlam. He'll probably get a big payday out of that. That's the second biggest, and then he'll make a decision.
I look at that quote. That's also a way of him kind of like, not really telling WWE the company guy, but just like telling like how much he loves WWE. He's not a guy that's going out and saying like, oh, man, blah, blah, blah. And,
no, he did that a long time ago.
Dolph makes, dude.
He never liked a lot of his positions.
Bio Dolph makes $900,000 for a 3-year contract, dude. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, but there's bonuses and shit in there too.
Exactly.
They'll bump it to $950,000.
That'd be fine. Annie gets paid for travel and accommodations. So
yeah, but he's working 300 days a year.
Who gives a shit? That's still, dude, that's $1 million a year. Fuck it.
I don't think they do travel and accommodations.
It's written in his contract. As long as you can get it written in your contract, you can have it.
Do you have a copy of his contract?
No, it's right here. It's in the what is this fucking thing?
I have never seen a talent actually put their contract online, so you got to be real leery.
It's
that
probably
kind of
close. It's probably
you
close.
Find that
to
stuff
it
in like Deadspin or something.
If Dolph is smart, he's gonna work out a deal where somewhere in there he can get the rights to the name Dolph Ziggler.
Right. The way he can use it in his stand-up.
Yeah, so, well, he can use it out, like, even when his career is over, he doesn't have to, like, revert back to fucking Nick Nemeth, and he still wants to do comedy. Like, he's right now without Dolph Ziggler and Dolph Ziggler, because he's allowed to use the name. But if he ever ends anything with WWE, it's like, oh, well, now I'm going to be coming to your town as Nick Nemeth or Dolph Ziggler.
Okay. All right, Mop, what else you got?
Eric Young tells the critics to go fuck themselves on Twitter.
There you go. I like that. That's awesome. It's good stuff right there.
Hold on. I'm upset about that because the people that were saying the shit that they were saying to him, the fact that he had to put out a recant today about the things that he said and then explain his stance is bullshit. If somebody is attacking my personal work and things that I put my heart and soul into, I don't think that I should have to apologize to anybody when I tell them to go fuck themselves. That's such a double standard bullshit because people bitched about, why is your talent saying the F word?
Fuck you.
Oh, he has every right to say anything
he fucking wants.
If somebody's going to attack me, goddammit, I'm going to say anything I want back.
Yes,
fuck
exactly.
You.
Well, if you're going to be a critic of somebody, you have to understand that's your opinion. I will fight for your right to say that because I say some fucked up shit all the time. But somebody is allowed to tell their own opinion back just because it doesn't agree with yours doesn't mean they're not allowed to say
it's
it.
The same exact thing. It's the same exact thing Kevin Smith got in trouble for because he pretty much told all the critics to go fuck themselves at a press event one day or whatever.
There was a football player that told the fans to go fuck themselves and had to apologize for it.
Well, he works for somebody else.
Yeah, but come on. If you're going to attack somebody like that, fuck the fans. You don't. I'm sorry. No.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
It was Sherman, wasn't it?
No, it was it was somebody from Kansas City, is what I want to say.
What else, Mom?
Kurt Angle has a tumor and has to have it surgically removed.
What I heard about that is it's only going to take 3 weeks because it's a benign tumor.
It's atrophy in his muscles.
Oh, no shit. Christ. Well, from what I've understood is that he knew about this for the past year, and he's finally made the decision because it is such a risky surgery that he made the decision to go ahead with it. But the rehabilitation on it, if everything goes well, is 3 fucking weeks. How the hell do you recover from pulling a tumor out of your neck in 3 weeks?
It's on the muscle area, which muscles heal pretty quick.
Yeah.
It's not like they're going in like they did with Daniel Bryan or Tyson Kidd.
Yeah, now I was supposed to say, now Tyson Kidd may have a different story.
Did you see that
scar
picture of his
Oh, my God. I don't know how he's ever going to wrestle again.
3 weeks in a recovery for TNA is what, 9 months worth of TV?
Yeah.
Easy. That's like 2017.
What else, Mop? Is that it?
I just got one more. Okay. I threw away the other TNA ones. Right. While wrestling fans eagerly await news on a second season of Lucha Underground. It's worth noting the company has recently applied for several new trademarks. There is six of them here. There's no point in reading them, but that's pretty encouraging signs for
Lucha
coming moving forward.
Where are their ratings at? They still at 3.5?
I don't know what they
3.5.
350 is what I meant.
No, 350.
They were at 50.
50.
Yeah.
50,000.
50 was the high point.
Oh, TNA's at 350 or 450.
They were right around that 350, 400 mark.
Okay.
I haven't seen ratings for Lucha Underground in a long time.
All
right. I think it's pretty much been steady where it's at.
50.
The cool thing with this with Lucha Underground is like Chris DeJoseph came out and did a podcast with, I can't remember if it was Taz or whoever he was talking to, but he talked about that it's uncertain, but they have the backing and appreciation from the network. They got nominated for or put on the ballot for nominations for an Emmy. So there is a lot of good interest and background to them, but at the same time, they haven't signed anything. This them signing copyrights or trying to copyright names is a positive leading into that.
Okay.
And speaking of ratings, Raw last night, 3.4, down from the week before, 3.6. They're now finishing in third on the cable ratings for Monday night. That's not good because I believe they were up in the fours not that very long ago.
What's one and two?
Probably America's Got Talent.
Street Outlaws and Love and Hip Hop.
Oh, that's on cable.
What the fuck are those?
Street Outlaws is actually a really popular show. I don't know why it's a popular
show. Never heard of it.
Oh, it's when they race cars.
It's a racing. It's a car racing show. It's a reality show.
Fast and Furious 2.0.
That's exactly what it is.
The TV version.
Yep.
Thing is about summer months, you figure that this is the hardest time to...
Hardest time to get people to watch TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's a big deal.
I cannot remember the last four I've seen. I don't even think the post-WrestleMania show did a four. Did 4 million views.
Oh, yeah, it did. Yeah.
No, I don't think it did.
Yeah,
it did.
It wasn't the post-Mania. One of them between Mania and Extreme Rules did a four. But it wasn't...
There's very few and far between.
It wasn't post-Mania, that's for sure.
Let me see if this thing's got a chart.
There should be some sort of a chart.
Yeah,
it might have been pushing four, but it wasn't a four.
Hang on.
Yeah, I'm thinking 3.9, 3.8. But
yeah, I think it was like a 3.8. Yeah.
2013, they were down to twos.
Yeah, exactly. It's
they're gonna have to start doing better if they're gonna get that 100,000 people in that arena.
2 weeks ago, they were having great Raws, man.
They were having good shows, but the ratings are still.
Yeah, three is enough. They need five.
They're going to get 100,000 people.
Yeah,
that doesn't
matter
what the ratings are. They're going to go worldwide.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But
the ratings only go for North America.
Right.
So there's going to be at least probably, 20,000 people going out of, coming into the United States for this event. I'm saying at least there's probably more than that, but a good 20,000.
But, I mean, just it's...
I like the fact that if The Undertaker does wrestle, they can actually close the dome so it's dark in there instead of having him wrestle in the daylight.
He's not listed.
Well, I don't know what half this shit is, but they were number one last week, Mop.
Yeah, but it was still a 3.6.
Yeah, I don't know what any of this stuff means. I know what tweets is, but I don't know what unique authors are. I don't know what impressions are, and I don't know what audience was.
There was 3.6 million people that turned into Raw.
Okay. I don't know where you're getting that number from.
That's what the ratings are showing.
I'm showing.
That's off of the TV. What is it?
The TV boxes.
TV by the numbers.
Yeah, I'm looking at TV. Nielsen. I'm looking at TV by the numbers right now. I'm on the website.
But you're looking at the social media scores, which is where the impressions.
That's totally different.
Okay.
TV by the numbers rating of the Nielsen boxes was at a higher number.
Fucking
TV.
Fucking
the impressions
Nielsen
means
bullshit.
That WWE was mentioned in such as a hashtag or. Or something else instead of WWE directly. It's somebody talking about it without labeling it and directing it towards that person. That's how I understand it.
Yeah, this website's so fucking credible. It doesn't even cite where it comes from. So.
And March, Raw was at 4.2 million.
What happened in March?
It was almost Raw. I mean, it was almost WrestleMania.
Oh, going into WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was not Brock's return.
Sting.
Probably.
It might have been Sting.
Probably.
June 1st says viewers up for Elimination Chamber Fallout.
Yeah, that was such a good.
Yeah, hour two, 4.11 million out of Elimination Chamber.
What was the average, though?
Average was It doesn't give me an average.
Probably a 3.
First hour was 3.9, second hour was 4.1, and third hour was 3.8.
That's the
which
thing
average
is
it rose up
ratings,
it rose
it would
up
be lower than
it
four.
Rose to
It'd
oh
be a
they're
three,
saying
nine,
the
five.
Yeah, they're saying the three it was 3.96 they're saying the average viewer was.
That makes sense, but that's what they go off of, is the average rating of the 3 hour.
Okay.
And Vince Russo popularized the idea of looking at quarter hour sections, which is when they start breaking down quarter hours. That's a stupid way of doing
it. They don't even
the
do that
1 hour basis is an accumulative total of the rating over the course of the night of the show.
That, and to
Ambrose,
be honest, what
Ambrose
it affects,
brought ratings, man.
What, but what it really affects is the commercials that are shown on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
The higher your ratings, the more money you can get for your advertising. That's
exactly what it is.
But that's such bullshit, because if you look at somebody like WWE that averages that for 52 weeks a year versus the NBA, which is going for the exact same demographic, WWE gets such a lower payout rate for commercials versus
ridiculous.
Some sport. And they put out more consistent ratings. Even TNA, with putting out a consistent 300,000-400,000, is better than what some shows do and reruns or in syndication or whatever. But regardless, they're still going to get paid less for those advertising spots. It's
There's always going to be a stigma around wrestling.
Exactly. Always. And that's thanks to the Attitude Era that everybody loves so much. Is that's when that
Oh, it goes further back.
It goes way
well,
further back.
Well, it does. But once they started putting the Crash TV, so to speak, and they started degrading women the way that they were doing during that time era, is what a lot of advertisers say is why they're not on that DNA list, that do not advertise list, is because of the stigma. Regardless of how much WWE has done to improve their image, it still stands, and it's such a bullshit bias.
Which is why they couldn't get a better contract with somebody else other than Universal. All right, guys, that's it for the week. Heavy Set, give us your best of the week and give us where you're at.
Best of the week is not only getting Whataburger, not only getting Tim Hortons, but Chipotle twice within a matter of a couple of days was completely amazing for me.
Did your asshole turn the fire?
No.
Whataburger is so good.
Oh, my God.
Their French fries are amazing.
The fries are okay. I got the barbecue chicken strip sandwich. Amazing. But the root beer milkshake.
Yes!
Oh, that sounds
good. That
thing
good. Is awesome.
That does sound good.
It's literally for those, because there's probably some of you going, oh, my God, that sounds disgusting. Do you like root beer float? Well, imagine that in shake form, because that's what it is.
That sounds good.
Oh, it was so good.
That does sound good.
Let me see. Where am I at?
Where you at?
I'm in Virginia.
That's why you're fucking. That's why you sound like shit right now.
How was your Nutella done?
Nutella done was okay, but Timbits are legit.
Nutella is so gross. I don't know why the Canadians love that shit.
Actually,
so
if Nutella by itself is gross. On that donut, it actually is pretty good.
I want to go to Tim. I want to go to Timbits, man, or Tim Hortons, man. I want to go so bad.
Nutella on toast is really good.
Fuck, dude, I can't find a fucking good restaurant in this fucking city to save my life.
I love Nutella's good. I mean, I like that Hershey came out with their own version of a chocolate spread.
Yeah.
Not chocolate hazelnut, just chocolate. That's amazing. But
Reese's did too. Oh my God.
Wait, that Reese's spread is awesome.
Who do you think came out with it?
I don't know why. I don't know what made it okay for us to put chocolate on things. Why is that okay all of a sudden? Like, why?
Screw you. Chocolate on things is amazing.
Could we ruin ourselves anymore, America?
You know,
could we really?
You can freaking move to Britain with all the other. Hey, let's watch our way.
No, they have Nutella.
That's
oh, no.
Hey, idiot. They started Nutella, you dummy. They fucking started this shit.
Australia.
No,
waiters,
Nutella is Britain.
Nutella is not. Nutella is not chocolate.
Yes,
it's hazelnut.
What the
spread.
Fuck ever? It's chocolate shit.
I don't think there's any real chocolate in it.
There
I think
is.
It's all fucking additives and shit.
Whatever. All right. Where you at, Heavy?
Well, like I said, I'm in Virginia. You can catch me on Old School The Movies, like always. You can catch me on this show, and you're listening. You're going to listen to next week, too, but I'll be on like Double Game, like always. which I've been on every episode I've tried since episode 11.
Uh-oh.
Are you
beating me now? Have I been gone for 11 episodes yet?
Yeah, you have.
Oh, yeah, because I produced roughly.
Yeah, maybe
you've
Chris.
You've been gone for 11 episodes since I started.
Yeah, Christmas may have got me.
Usually it's like right before or right after a pay-per-view.
I posted 12 episodes.
Yeah, so I have been gone. Yeah, so I have been gone for 11 episodes.
Where else can you find me? Oh, be sure to listen to the allwrestling.com with interview this week where I host.
That's the only plug you're ever going to get for that shit, too. Katie the First Lady, give me your best of the week and where you at?
Best of the week is Cena and Cesaro with bonus of Kevin Owens on commentary.
Here, here. He was good.
Yes. And I'm going to make a prediction that next week's best of the week will be the show in Japan, because I have a feeling it's going to be really good.
Really? Are you going to be up at, are you going to be up at 5 o'clock tweeting it?
No, but I'll probably still be up at 5 o'clock because I never could sleep well.
Well, if you're going to be up at 5, you might as well watch it.
Yeah, I'll see how I feel.
All
right. Follow me at Katie First Lady.
Yes, at Katie the First Lady. Biohazard, give me your best of the week, and where you at, man?
My best of the week is watching Bull Dempsey eating Doritos. And
that was great. He was on Tough Enough, too.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. He was on Tough Enough.
I told you he was tough enough. Anyway, you can find me at the Biohazard King on Twitter, Instagram, some other social medias I don't feel like talking about right now.
Okay.
I'm tired. Next.
I can tell. Mob Jockey, where you at? And what's your best of the week?
Best of the week is Cena for just being Cena and putting over Cesaro like a goddamn beast again. You guys can shit on him all you want. He's putting in fucking work.
I'm not shitting on him.
That's
know
he's praise. Every time you hear the Cena horn is because he did something amazing.
I know he's putting
he
on
stop
work.
Doing dude, that he's spring, fucking killing it.
Dude, he's putting.
He's, okay, yeah, he does needs need to stop doing that, that. But whatever that that where he mounts the guy from backwards, you know, reverse cowgirl style.
Oh, the
and does the flip thing. Yeah, I don't know what you call it.
The short arm power bomb or the flip bomb or whatever you. Call
yeah,
it.
Whatever the fuck that is, it looks
that,
amazing.
That face drive thing that he did was kind of cool too.
Yeah, he's but, up this game. I think he's using that that performance center for himself.
But he only has five moves of doom, and he's boring. And,
that's
know.
My issue is if you watch a Cena match, an actual Cena match that isn't a squash match, he has always been that way. Those matches with Punk, when everybody was all Cena's five moves of doom, he made freaking Punk based upon the matches that they were having, and he wasn't doing five moves in those matches.
I agree.
Pile driver
and Cesaro pulling out a fucking another amazing fucking spot where he caught him midair. Oh my dude, fucking Cesaro is a goddamn beast. Anyway, at the Mop Jockey.
Bio, what's it called?
What are you talking about?
What is the move called?
The reverse cowgirl thrust.
Oh, that's a that's just a flipping power bomb.
Flipping power bomb. All right, there you go.
A flipping power bomb.
Flip
or a
power
flipping
bomb.
Power bomb.
Flipping power bomb.
Flipping power bomb.
We're going to start referring to it as the flipping power bomb.
Flip power bomb.
Because Petey Williams did the flipping pile driver.
He did the Canadian Destroyer. We'll call this.
I was going to say I thought that was the. I thought they had another name for it.
Yeah, I saw that gut. I saw that. Was that gut? What they call? What's that Samoa Joe finisher called? Gut Buster? Gut?
The Muscle Buster.
Muscle Buster? I don't know how Kid hurt himself from doing that.
I'm sure he just landed awkwardly on his shoulder.
High impact on the brace of the neck is what it is. If he would, like, say if he slips off in the point where his head's bending, if that part of your neck lands first instead of the top of your shoulders like it's supposed to, that's an easy way to have that problem.
Yeah, but I mean, I could definitely see why that's hard to do to slip off of that. Anyway.
But Joe's so good at the best Canadian destroyer for the record.
He does. Double A, best of the week, and where you at?
Best of the week, I actually got yelled at by my son Sunday morning because before church he was flipping through the DVR. He's like, where the heck's all the wrestling stuff? I accidentally deleted everything because I was done watching it, forgetting that he might want to watch it.
You're a horrible father.
That's like putting Benadryl in kids' cuts so they'll go to
school. I do that anyway.
Church.
I need my wrestling before church.
Superstars was right before church.
I know, me too. That totally reminds me. I used to be an altar boy at church, and my brother and I used to wear Undertaker and Kane shirts to church. The ones like back in the darkness days where it had like demons of hell rise on the back of it and shit. So when we like be, they were like really thin cloaks. We had to wear thin white cloaks. You could see what was written on our shirts underneath it. And my parents didn't care. They just let us wear that shit to church, man. Like,
that explains so much.
No, you have no idea.
I'm the opposite from you guys. I used to come home from church when I was a lot younger and watch WWF All-American.
We had
Sunday afternoon NWA and WCW is what we watched here. Before we go to church was WWF.
Sunday night heat.
Shotgun Saturday night, bitch.
Yeah.
Now what?
Velocity.
Velocity. Oh, Jack, bitch.
Get so old. The fuck out.
I used to watch Saturday. Was it Saturday night? What's that thing with Todd Pettingale?
Shotgun Saturday night?
No, it was morning. It was a morning Saturday night.
Livewire.
I used to watch fucking Livewire every Saturday morning with Todd Pettengill.
I've said this once and I'll say it again. Livewire was ahead of its time.
Hell yeah, it was.
Yeah, you
Hell
run that yeah, on the network now, it would be a good show.
Hell yeah.
Granted, it would be heavily trolled.
Yeah.
Sure. Especially if Todd Pettengill still hosting it.
AM Raw, bitch. That was what Mop was talking about earlier.
What, on the US, on the USA HD network?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I that's where I watch when I miss Raw.
Many days I got caught up on Raw thanks to that because I'd come in for a job at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
That'll do it. DRG, best of the week, and where you at?
I got best of the week from wrestling standpoint. Go back and watch the Full Metal Mayhem with the Wolves versus Dirty Heels. That match was great. The double coast to coast Van Terminator on Ares while he's in a trash can was pretty damn cool. Personal best.
Did you see that big ass red mark that Aries had on his back after
the welt?
I don't remember. Was it Richards? He kicked the top of the trash can and it came down and it scraped his back. So his back had a giant welt on it from the trash can.
Yeah, that match was brutal. The power bomb assist drop kick by Rude and Aries. That's where the match should have ended, in my opinion. But overall, that match was really, really good wrestling, especially for a weekly show and a 15-minute match. It was awesome. Personal, I had my hashtag TNA Watch 2015 got mentioned by Mike Tenay and Taz on Taz's latest fantasy draft. Because I pointed out the fact that Seth, the co-host, Googles all his answers in the fantasy drafts. And Mike Tenay goes, there's a guy on Twitter. His goes by the TNA Watch or something like that. And he pointed this out, yada, yada, yada. And Taz goes, yeah, well, at least somebody watches TNA still. Oh, that was awesome.
All right. And where are you at?
I was within the first 5 minutes. I'm at, on the Twitters, at MRDRG_WIR, and you can find me on this podcast and tomorrow as I cut a promo for promo week facing off with two members of this panel.
Soon you're going to have to change that to Mr. underscore DRG heavy set because he's taking over that AWIR show.
You mean to tell me DRG's still going?
And I am at Devil Vamp. My best of the week this week was the Divas, and we are leaving here right now. Have a great week, everybody. Let's end this bitch.
Happy 4th of July.
Bye. Happy 4th of July. Yay, America. Woohoo. Bye.
America. Fuck yeah. Killing a whole bunch of weirdos.
What the hell is this?
It's Queen, baby.
Queen, baby.
Could you pick a real Queen song?
Like what? Like, God, everybody like always gotta shit on everything I fucking dying. Pick all the time. What is wrong with you
people? We can't sing Happy Birthday, but we listen to Queen.
This is yeah, no shit, play the whole
like, what
thing.
The hell are you worried about right now?
They're dead. They're all dead. They're dead. What do you want from me? This is from Highlander.
Owned by another record company.
Should respect that. It's Highlander.
Happy birthday to you.
We're out. Bye, everybody.
I didn't get to say where I'm at.